Open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Ohio Republican Congressman Bob Ney says he will resign before sentencing in January for selling his influence to lobbyist Jack Abramoff. With a reaction from the White House, live now, CBS News correspondent Mark Noller.
Harley, in no uncertain terms, the White House says Congressman Ney ought to resign. But spokesman Tony Snow is quick to make the case that corruption in office is by no means a monopoly of Republicans.
What Congressman Ney did is not a reflection of the Republican Party. It's a reflection of Congressman Ney, and he ought to step down.
And in a veiled reference to Democrat Congressman William Jefferson, Snow said if you've got money in your freezer or skeletons in your closet, it's incumbent on everybody to behave in a model way. Live at the White House, I'm Mark Noller, CBS News.
House Majority Leader John Boehner says Democrats have put House pages in danger over party politics. Ohio's Boehner told a crowd in Iowa Democratic operatives knew about the inappropriate emails sent to young male pages, but instead of moving to stop it,
Democrat operatives were shopping this information around for some time.
Boehner expects to testify before the Mark Foley or about the scandal next week before the House Ethics Committee. Says he's looking forward to that. It may be nothing at all. It may be well beyond any statute of limitations, so there may be no legal case, but a preliminary look is being taken into a camping trip led by Arizona Congressman Jim Colby 10 years ago, a trip that included a couple of congressional pages. There are no allegations of anything untoward so far. The search for a young woman missing from the University of Vermont is over. Michelle Gardner Quinn's body found dumped in a gorge about 20 miles from the school. There is a suspect.
It appears that Mr. Rooney and Michelle met when she asked him to borrow a cell phone on that Friday night, early Saturday morning.
Burlington Police Chief Thomas Tremblay. Takes a pretty good sense of humor to enjoy this song in Buffalo, New York today. On the other hand, most of the folks there can only hear it on a battery-operated radio or out in the car. Governor George Pataki says electricity is out for 70% of the people in Buffalo.
Crews from all over will continue to work through the weekend, night and day, consistent with their safety requirements, but their estimate at this point is that, in all likelihood, it will take into next week.
It's 45 degrees there right now and won't hit freezing tonight in Buffalo. The Nobel Peace Prize goes to Muhammad Yunus, whose Grameen Bank has helped Bangladeshis get tiny business loans.
So many people do not know about microcredit and its promise, and I think this will serve to educate the world about the potential of microcredit.
Alex Counts is head of the Grameen Foundation, planning to expand to 22 countries. Wall Street, the Dow gained almost 13 points today, the Nasdaq up 11 points, oil prices $58.68 a barrel, up 82 cents. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Sterling Marley, driver of number 14 Waste Management Chevrolet. You know I can't go anywhere without supporting my pit crew.
Step on it, Sterling. Only got 30 seconds.
That's my crew. Always keeps me on track. So as I was saying, my team at Waste Management has great job opportunities for drivers, mechanics, and technicians.
Go, go, go!
All right. Call Waste Management at 877-220-JOBS to learn more.
From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green. Think Waste Management. Call 877-220-JOBS today.
Okay, class, it's rollback season, which means we get to make
piggy banks!
Who remembers why we make piggy banks?
Because rollback season is about saving on the things we need.
Now, are there a lot of reasons?
10,000.
No way!
It is 10,000. Miss Russell, is that true?
Yes, Maddie, it's true.
Okay, I've got some questions about the tooth fairy.
It's rollback season at Walmart. We've rolled back the prices on 10,000 of your favorite items. Stop in today and save big.
Friday the 13th, all day today. Are we having fun yet?
Do you have triskaidekaphobia? It's the fear of the number 13, and for those who have it, today is a day they'd rather skip.
They just might be very, very cautious during the day, which will lead them to not have a normal day.
Or, says Washington Hospital Center behavioral health expert Dr. Desi Griffin, they might practice some elaborate ritual to banish the dreaded number.
Count 14 steps for every time they walk down the hall, or sort of erase away the 13th.
She says superstitions sometimes run in families. If your mom hated Friday the 13th, you probably do too. Adrian Mitchell for CBS News, Washington.
Witnesses abound to the ghosts in a museum in Covington, Kentucky, so they say. Civil War soldiers roam the yard outside. Inside the Beringer Crawford Museum, a mysterious man sometimes sits at a desk. A woman walks around upstairs. There are paranormal investigators who are investigating there right now. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
Exactly.
Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic, cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
Say hallelujah.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Like all the others, this one is live, unrehearsed, unscripted. All we know is we got 3 hours, we got some great guests lined up, and we're going to talk with you on the telephone, too. That's how it works in the PBC universe. On today's program, candidate Clint Curtis, running for Congress in Florida. He's going to tell the story of his opponent who wanted his help to hack an election. How about that? Also on today's program, Dan Shulman from Mother Jones is going to tell us about the WAC Iran crowd. And there's some of the same fine people who helped us WAC Iraq. And it's been so successful, they just want to keep on going. Also on today's program, investigative journalist Robert Perry from ConsortiumNews.com. He was one of the leaders in breaking the Iran-Contra scandal in the 1980s. And Bob Perry is going to update us on just how far out of touch George W. Bush really is. And the Bush family's relationship with Reverend Sung Myung Moon and what that means for our current showdown with North Korea. Also on today's program, we'll meet blogger Heather Woschuk. She's got some interesting information on the Halliburton contract to build detention camps along our southern border. And that's an issue that some of our listeners have been very curious about. We're going to get more from her and also get her thoughts on North Korea. And Don Rumsfeld's, the products that he sold to the regime in Pyongyang when he was a business executive just 6 years ago. And as usual on Friday, Brad Friedman spends the third hour with us. He's the proprietor of BradBlog.com and one of the leaders in this country of the election integrity movement. And there's a lot to talk about with Brad, as usual. At any moment, you can pick up the phone and give us a call. It's a live interactive radio program, and my toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And before we get down to business with our first guest, I have two items to tell you about. For our listeners in far northern California, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County, I want to let you know that next Wednesday is the day that I'll be bringing this show live to the auditorium at the Del Arte Performing Arts Center, and that, of course, is in Blue Lake. And if you would like to get tickets, there's no charge for the tickets, but there is limited room in the auditorium, and so it's a first-come, first-serve ticket, and you can call KGOE Radio right now. Operators are standing by, and I hope they can handle the volume. The number is 707-442-2000. That's 707-442-2000.
2000. I want to thank Tom Seaborn and all the fine folks at KGOE for helping us arrange this, and Dave Berman, too. And it's going to be focused entirely on election integrity as we broadcast live from Blue Lake in the Eureka area. That's next Wednesday, the 18th of October. And if you want tickets, you better act now. Call KGOE at 707-442-2000. The other thing I'd like to mention is that there's a lot of concern in the radio progressive talk arena, because it is a fact that Air America Radio filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy today. And I'd like you to know that that has absolutely no effect on the Peter B. Collins Show. I am glad that Air America is there, but I am not part of their business. My program does appear on some Air America radio stations, but they tell us that there will be no change in operations and the bankruptcy laws will protect them from their creditors, at least for the time being. So I'd like you to know about that, and we'd like you to get the truth and the facts from us. I'm sure that Sean and Rush and the gang are having a field day with this, but you should know that progressive radio is alive and well, and programs like this will continue irrespective of what may happen with Air America Radio. So let's get down to business. Clint Curtis is our first guest today. He is a Democratic challenger who's taken on a wacky guy named Tom Feeney in Florida. It's in the 11th district, right, Tom? Right, Clint?
24th district.
24th, okay. Well, I got to get my facts straight. It's nice to talk with you again, Clint.
Nice to talk to you.
And since we last spoke, a number of new listeners have signed up for our program. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to detail for us the interesting way that you got into this race with Tom Feeney. But first, I thought you'd be happy to hear some very interesting news that just came over my email in the last half hour. And it is a survey conducted by Stanley Greenberg of Greenberg Quinlan Rossner. And what it is described as is a meltdown for the Republicans. And what they're saying is that this polling in key congressional districts across the country has pushed the Democrats over the 50% mark up to 53% in just the last 2 weeks. And this is a major sea change. How does it feel in your district in Florida? Is it represented by some of the same kind of attitudes?
Well, it does seem to be. We do our internal polling because we're verifying the vote at the same time that we're out canvassing for it. And right now we've collected about 26,000 voters for our subset. And we're getting about 10% flip over from the Republicans. We're doing about 90% on the independents, which is an incredible number because that's almost a third of our makeup here. And all the Democrats are pretty solid. None of them want to vote for Tom Feeney for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you must be encouraged, too, because I don't think any Democrat expected the Mark Foley October surprise.
That's not exactly what people talk about when they think of October surprise, is it?
No, it isn't. I didn't think it would involve wireless communications and pages and things like that. I thought, honestly, it was going to be an attack on Iran.
Well, see, this is a surprise then, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You were fully surprised
yes,
by this.
I was fully surprised.
You were fully surprised by this.
Yeah.
It's very strange, and the thing from my aspect is, since the fellow I'm running against, Tom Feeney, is a Republican leader, he's deputy whip, there are a lot of rumors that he knew about this years ago when he was warning his own people but didn't actually bother to warn anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So. And integrity issue there, too.
Well, indeed. And Clint, you have done us all a big favor by taking time off from your career and taking a great risk to challenge an incumbent. You knew the numbers before you got into it that, 98% of incumbents have been returned routinely. The one exception was the Gingrich Revolution in 1994, at least in recent history. And it does seem that we're gearing up for something almost as sweeping as that this year.
Well, if we can get the machines to actually record the vote, I think we would have had results like that a couple of years ago. So
yeah,
we shouldn't get too excited yet.
I understand. We do have to be cautious because, as I refer to it, the margin of graft has not yet been exceeded by at least the initial polling numbers we're seeing now.
Correct.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and tell for our new listeners in Phoenix and in Coos Bay, Oregon, you had a bizarre encounter back in 2000 with the congressman when he was a leader in the legislature in Florida, the lower house, the House.
Yes, he was actually the incoming speaker of the Florida House. And I was working at a company in Oviedo, Florida, called Yang Enterprises, and I was the head programmer. And he was, besides being Speaker of the House, he was the head lobbyist and the corporate attorney, which is not normally done, but Tom Feeney doesn't do normal things.
Mm-hmm. So.
And he came in, and, you know, I was Republican back then, because I believed in balanced budgets, and I believed in personal security, and I believed in strong military, and all those things that these Republicans don't believe in anymore.
Yeah.
Those what I believed in. Those seem to be Democratic values now, which is good. We can bring the base back in to the Democratic values because the Republicans, as they are, have abandoned all that value. They've abandoned. They have no morals at all that I can see. They're pretty much morally bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And but he came in and he requested a prototype for a machine that would work on a touchscreen machine that would allow you to walk up and basically hit a few invisible buttons on the screen and flip the vote to whoever you wanted to win.
And he was at Yang asking you and the company to develop this kind of non-traceable intervention in an election?
Yes, absolutely. And I assumed that, you know, because in computers you break things to fix them. You have to have a break before you know how to actually repair it.
Right.
So I assumed since the Democrats were in power and he was a Republican and I was a Republican and the company was Republican that the Republicans were the good guys. I hadn't quite woke up yet, sorry.
Okay.
So I built the program and built the thing you would do and say, here are the rules you would need to follow to make sure that no one could get this in on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really easy to do. I mean, it's not that hard to prevent vote fraud using electronic machines if you follow a few simple rules.
Right.
So I hand that off to the owner of the company, and she says, you don't understand. You've got to hide the flip in the source code because this is for flipping the vote in South Florida. So,
and at that point, like St. Paul, you fell off your horse on the way to on the way to Damascus.
Well, I'm thinking you've got to be crazy because in order to do that, I didn't even think they could pull it off. Because in order to do that, the Democrats are in power, and now you have to get them to accept a machine that they can't see the source code. It gives them no verifiable results. It's made by a company that favors the Republican Party. And in the end, it's a trust-me situation. Who's going to do that?
Yeah.
That's just crazy, right?
Well, it is crazy, and we're confronting the specter of an election in less than 4 weeks where we have very little confidence that the intent of the voter will be reflected in the published results.
You should have no confidence, none whatsoever, because the way it's set up, it is so easy to flip it and so hard to get caught, it's almost a why not.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and return with Clint Curtis. He's a candidate, Democrat, in the 24th District of Florida, taking on a corrupt and ethically challenged individual named Tom Feeney. You can go to the website clintcurtis.com, get more information, and if you're so inclined, make a contribution and help him seal the deal on November 7th. And we'll talk more with Clint in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, you can join us right now, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. We'll continue in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
Then they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. See, people feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
I am Juan Escamilla, hands-on owner of Wilson's Tire and Service and candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6. Cabrillo College is an excellent community college. Let's make it even better by adding state-of-the-art vocational training for our entire community. That's why I'm asking for your vote on November 7th. I am Juan Escamilla, candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6, and I would appreciate your vote.
Hard work with straight talk. Escamilla for Cabrillo College Trustee, District 6.
We continue live on the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes after the hour. And we just got word from KGOE in Eureka that all the tickets for our live broadcast next Wednesday at the Del Arte Performing Arts School have been claimed. So please desist from calling the station. We understand there will be some tickets available on the day of the event. And keep listening to 1480 KGOE for the latest information. We continue now with Democratic candidate. He's a former Republican, as he told us, Clint Curtis. He was so outraged by the behavior of the incumbent Tom Feeney that he decided to run against him. And what do the polls show right now, Clint? Are you guys neck and neck, or have you managed to pull ahead?
We are actually ahead right now.
That's
great. Of
course,
he has a lot of money, so he might be able to close that gap. But
yeah. Well,
so far, what he's done with his money hasn't been very creative.
Well, he's been busy trying to smear you with Hustler magazine, and this ties in. The way I met you, Clint, was through our friend Brad Friedman of Bradblog. He's written extensively about your whistleblowing on Tom Feeney and the efforts to hack elections in Florida. And, you know, as a result, He wrote an article that was published in Hustler magazine, I think in August or September. And because of that, Feeney picked up on it and has sent some rather there are R-rated or X-suggestive mailers to residents in your district.
Yes, went over pretty badly because they felt like he was sending porn to their mailboxes and complained loudly about him, so that didn't work out well. And so far what he has done mainly, he spent $1.4 million so far, and he's basically doctored photos, doctored facts, and keeps sending out things that people find repulsive. So
well,
it hasn't done him real good.
He seems to really like Photoshop.
But he's not very good at it. I mean, you can take classes in this stuff. He just needs to, you know.
Well, he doesn't have time because he's busy carrying water for the Bush administration.
I guess that's true. It slows you down.
Yeah. We've got a caller on the line for you, Dave from Humboldt. Hello, Dave. You're on with Clint Curtis.
Peter, Clint, I so much appreciate all that you've been attempting to do, and I have no doubt in my mind that the cons fully plan to do it to us again in November, and I don't think this country will survive that. Not in any sense that it has been. Can you do anything to try to help wake up some of the good members of Congress?
Well, they don't seem to have any power right now. If you don't have any control of either house, then you have no way to have investigations. You have no way to subpoena. You lose all your power.
Well,
and that's why even the good ones that want to do something are just sitting and spinning.
Russ Holt's bill has so many co-authors of both parties that I would expose that to the world every way you can, but that's being blocked by GOP leadership.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, there's been a House Bill 550 ever since I testified before Congress, and it's gone nowhere. There was just an emergency bill for a paper ballot.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone nowhere.
Thank you both for all that you're doing.
All right, Dave, thank you for the call today. And Paul Leto, who's an elections attorney who got involved in the disputed election of Brian Bilbray in San Diego to replace Duke Cunningham, he has circulated some comments saying basically that the emergency paper ballot plea that has gone out could be counterproductive or could even boomerang because it's going to designate these ballots, which are likely to be Democratic or Democratic-leaning, in a way that will permit certain registrars to just ignore them or perhaps never count them.
Right.
Do you share that concern?
Well, there's always that concern. They always try and take something and turn it to their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Just the nature of the game. But that doesn't mean that you don't want to keep trying. You don't want to keep pushing because in doing that, they'll expose themselves more. And sometimes that's all you need. You just need that little crack in the armor. As far as my election, in, down here in Florida, a lot of people were saying, we'll vote absentee and we'll have the paper and then we'll be able to force them to count it. So being Florida what it is, they basically passed a law last session that says that you are not allowed to audit that paper against the machines you send it through.
Really?
No particular reason, explanation why. In fact, it's like one line in a 160-page bill, but there it is. Just we're going to steal it, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Wow. That's really breathtaking. And brazen is the other word I would use.
It's pretty arrogant, but you get a lot of arrogance when you know that you don't have to worry about being elected to an office, when you can just push a few buttons and then declare yourself the victor.
Yeah.
Stalin did it a long time. Worked well for him.
It's interesting that you mentioned Stalin, because I have renamed what they call the Military Commissions Bill, the Joe Stalin Detention, Torture, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006.
There you go.
If you had been in Congress on the 28th of September, how would you have voted on that bill, Clint?
On whether the United States should be torturing prisoners by giving them a new name, I think I would have voted against that.
In fact,
that's our problem. That's why North Korea has nukes. That's why Iran will have nukes. That's why, I don't know, Shangri-La will have nukes. Because the tiniest nothing country in the world at this point can completely ignore us.
Mm-hmm.
We have no moral standing in the world.
Yeah. Andy Borowitz is a satirist, and he reports in his dispatch today that Mel Gibson has acquired a nuke. I think it's a joke. Larry
well,
and Aptos.
Hi. I just wanted to bring up what happens if indeed November 8th we wake up and there's just been evidence, hopefully the media will cover, evidence of voter fraud, of not enough election machines put into places where, say, black people live, like what happened in Ohio in 2004 and so on, and voter flips.
Larry, let's go to Clint because my time is tight. Go ahead, Clint.
Well, basically, I don't think most people will cover it. They didn't cover it before. It happened in Ohio. It's well documented. They probably will not cover it later.
Yeah, fraud only happens in the Ukraine.
Right.
Thank you very much, Clint. We wish you the best. ClintCurtis.com is the website. You can donate to help his campaign. I hope you're victorious on November 7th.
Thank you, sir.
And thanks for blowing the whistle.
Bye-bye.
We appreciate it. Coming up next, we look at the Iran cabal.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of 4, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
These United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
This government, particularly this Republican government, has run amok in giving away money to people like the oil industry and Halliburton and whatnot.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
That in no way is benefiting the majority of people, no way is contributing to infrastructure or democracy in the United States, and is purely enriching a small number of people. And things are going nuts.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue as your humble host, Peter B. This half hour, we're joined by Mother Jones investigative fellow Dan Shulman.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying to chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta loaf. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of cheater the little homies wanna be like. On my knees in the night, saying prayers in the street light.
Inside the Beltway, do we have a gangster's paradise? We pretty well figured out the cabal that brought us this misguided, unnecessary war and occupation in Iraq. And hey, some of the same fine people are back telling us it's time to whack Iran. And I would say that makes it a gangster's paradise. Dan Shulman, as we mentioned, is an investigative fellow at Mother Jones Magazine, our media partner. Dan, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thanks a lot, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. This is a fascinating piece that you assembled, and it's available at motherjones.com, and perhaps it'll show up in the next edition of the print publication of the magazine. But you have identified and named names the people who are now tasked inside the Bush administration to create the case for military action against Iran. And it is eerily reminiscent of just a few years ago when some of the same players or their cronies helped gin up the war against Iraq.
No, I would say that some of these people, I wouldn't say all the people in the administration are pushing for a military intervention.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them are involved in pushing these pro-democracy campaigns against Iran. And really, that's kind of a tacit form of regime change when you really think about it, because they are working to undermine the regime in various ways.
Mm-hmm.
The State Department has $85 million right now that it's using to, I guess, prop up dissident groups as well as to fund exile radio operations, essentially beaming, I guess, forms of propaganda into Iran to agitate the population.
Now, in terms of that propaganda, are we using Al Hura, the Middle Eastern television channel that the U.S. operates on satellite, or trying to remember the name of the radio channel? It translates to the free one.
Yeah, I have read something recently that someone in the Pentagon's Iran directorate, which is basically, I guess, the new version of the Office of Special Plans that was involved in Iraq, that they had basically written a report saying that they didn't feel like some of these government-funded news organizations that are targeting Iran, including the Voice of America and possibly Al Hura as well,
mm-hmm.
were taking a hard enough line.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. And that was a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Radio Sawa is what it's called.
Yes, Radio Sawa.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if Radio Sawa can be heard inside the borders of Iran?
To be honest with you, I'm not positive.
Yeah, I don't know either. But I know the intention is to play American pop music and try to win hearts and minds in the Middle East. And from every indication we've gotten, nobody listens, nobody watches.
I bet that's probably true, but yeah. I'm not positive myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that the Hearts and Minds campaign is, it's been a huge part of Iraq, and it's certainly going to be a huge part of Iran.
Yeah. Well, and I will just modify what I said in the introduction, because your article doesn't quite say that these people want to all attack Iran.
Right.
And that is kind of a submerged policy issue. We know that there are two or more naval carrier groups steaming toward the Persian Gulf, one toward the Gulf and one toward the Eastern Mediterranean,
mm-hmm.
With an arrival date about 2 weeks from now. And that would put them into position. We've been in touch with Colonel Sam Gardner and others who indicate that this is not a war game, not an exercise, and it is something that could be triggered by the president into the assault on Iran that some people have been speculating about. But you're correct that this is a larger group that is pushing to destabilize the mullahs who run the Iranian government now.
Right.
And it extends out of PNAC, does it not? The Project for a New American Century?
I mean, there are a number of those individuals who are involved, and from the American Enterprise Institute, which basically spawned the Project for a New American Century.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got a lot of those same players involved. And not only that, but within the Pentagon, this new Iran directorate, you've apparently got some of the same players who were involved in the Pentagon's Office of Special Plans, which was that office that was basically stovepiping faulty and raw and faulty intelligence to the White House.
Yeah, I just we interviewed David Korn the other day, and
yeah.
I finished the book Hubris that he co-authored with Michael Isikoff, and I have a few issues with them, but in general, they did a great job of laying out the way the intelligence was presented, vetted, often rejected, and then revived by this group with Douglas Feith and others who were feeding it directly to the vice president's office.
Right, absolutely. And they became a conduit for bogus information from Ahmed Chalabi and his Iraqi National Congress. And, you know, it's kind of echoing that now because there are fears that this new Iran directorate is becoming conduit for faulty intelligence by this Iran-Contra figure, Ghorbanifar.
Mm-hmm.
And
Ghorbanifar is a colorful fellow with no known loyalties except to Ghorbanifar.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the CIA has long disavowed him. We're talking since like the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
He's failed a CIA administered lie detector test, and they issued 2 burn notices on him, which basically alert their field agents not to have anything to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are again meeting with this guy, first in Rome, and then I believe that there have been other meetings as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, loosely, is Monikar Ghorbanifar the player in the new game who is most similar to Ahmed Chalabi in the old game?
It seems to me, but, Laura Rosen has done some really, really excellent stuff on this, and she's really tapped in. And she just did a piece for Mother Jones about another dissident who Richard Pearl is pushing, and his name, I have it somewhere right here, I think it's something like Amir Farivar.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of a young dissident and spent some time in jail in Iran, I guess, but it sounds like he's trying to build him up to be something that he's not. Apparently, he doesn't have too much of a following, but
mm-hmm.
It seems like at least some people are pushing him.
Well, and I believe Laura Rosen has penned an article about that gentleman, which
mm-hmm.
is available at motherjones.com right now.
Yep.
Yeah, I've seen it there. So the one difference or distinction that I see is that Chalabi has harbored a desire to be the ruler of Iraq, whatever title we might confer upon him. And I don't get that same sense about Ghorbanifar. Does he harbor any desire to run Iran, or is it just in his interest to change the regime so he can sell more arms, broker more arms sales to the new leaders there?
No, I think you're right. That is an important distinction. I don't think he has any designs on ruling or anything like that. But he does certainly want this regime gone, and he's wanted it gone for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, there might be some money issues. I've read before that when he tried to peddle some of this intelligence, he's asked for large sums of money, millions of dollars. So it could be a financial thing. I'm just really not sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was his M.O. during Iran-Contra. He was mainly looking for fat commissions, and he was willing to work both sides of the deal, if at all possible. He's quite a character. Now, also on your list here, and you do name names, is Michael Ledeen.
Mm-hmm.
He's over at the American Enterprise Institute. He writes a column. And he was one of the people who appeared to be a broker for the phony intelligence that claimed that Niger was prepared to deliver yellow cake uranium to Iraq. And Ledeen got involved in some of those conversations with an intelligence agent in Italy. And while we don't have a lot of proof about that, he clearly was in Italy at times when this tainted intelligence, and we have to put that in quotes, was being massaged and then ultimately presented to the U.S. government.
Well, what we do know is that Ledeen was the one that set up, well, he's a longtime friend of Gorbanifar, number one, and was the one that introduced Gorbanifar to U.S. officials during Iran-Contra. And again, he set up the meeting with Pentagon officials a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of in all of these places, it seems like.
Right. And Ledeen was part of PNAC, am I correct?
To be honest with you, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. He very well might have been.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's move along to David Wormser. He's in the vice president's office. He played prominently in many of the intelligence-related issues in the pre-Iraq invasion period.
Mm-hmm.
What is his role in the new Iran office at the Pentagon?
Well, actually, Wormser is now a top Middle East advisor to the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, He was one of the co-authors of that PNAC paper, A Clean Break, A New Strategy for Securing the Realm,
mm-hmm.
Which basically advocates kind of redrawing the map of the Middle East, and it originally had called for, you know, taking Saddam out.
Mm-hmm.
So from what I understand, the vice president's office is pretty heavily involved in all of this stuff, and he's a key player in that.
And Wormser moved into Cheney's office after Libby had to move out.
I think you're right about that. I'm not sure about the chronology, though.
Yeah, I believe it's Wormser and Hannah, who basically were the two people who replaced Scooter Libby.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right.
And what else do we know about Wormser in terms of his attitudes toward Iran?
Not terribly much. He did say, you know, he was at the American Enterprise Institute before September 11th, and he was kind of tapped by the Pentagon shortly afterwards. And a couple weeks after September 11th, he basically said that discontent within Iran is a, quote, strategic opportunity for the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like he's long had designs on something happening there.
Mm-hmm. All right. We've got more names to name. We're talking with Daniel Shulman. He has written this piece that you can find at motherjones.com called Meet the WAC Iran Lobby. And we'll talk about the intent of these neocons and what they're doing to gather intelligence and try to build some momentum as we continue. If you'd like to call the program, we've got lines open right now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Give us a call and we can talk with you right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Tell people why I say that. I mean, Hi,
this is Doug Basham reminding you to join me weeknights at 7 here on KRXA. That's Basham Radio weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Peter B. Collins Show continues. Lines available if you'd like to talk with us about this crew that is agitating against Iran. These are insiders in the Bush administration. Some of the same fine people who agitated against Iraq just a few short years ago. We're talking with Daniel Shulman from Mother Jones Magazine, and our lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free, 888-573-8372. Now, one of the people who is deeply involved in this initiative against Iran, a political initiative that could become military, is Abram Shulsky. And he was running the Office of Special Plans inside the Pentagon during the time that we discussed, Dan, when much of this intelligence was massaged or, as the British memo said, fixed around the policy.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was there then, and he's certainly there now, along with two former staffers from the Office of Special Plans that I haven't heard anything about before, but Laura Rosen actually dug this up for one of the pieces she did.
So this is John Trigilio and Leighton Archon?
Yeah.
Or Archon? I haven't heard of those two guys before either.
No, I mean, there's very little known about them. Trigilio is a former defense intelligence agency analyst who was assigned to the Pentagon. Archon, she's an Iran expert.
Uh-huh.
That's been assigned to that unit.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I think there's very little known about what they're actually up to there.
And do we know if this this office has the same kind of budget that the Office of Special Plans did? Because OSP not only had four or five staffers, but they were forking over $340,000 a month to Ahmed Chalabi's phony Iraqi National Congress.
Well, I don't know about budget, but I think OSP actually had more. I think they might have had close to a dozen or more staffers. And this office, from what I've heard, only has a handful,
mm-hmm.
six.
Mm-hmm.
So, in terms of the budget for staffing, I mean, it's definitely less. I don't know how much money they have for whatever type of campaigns they're undertaking at this point.
Now, I'm not surprised to see the name Cheney appear on your list here, but it's a different Cheney. This is the vice president's oldest daughter, Elizabeth Cheney.
Sure.
Now, what is her role in the promotion of democracy in Tehran?
Oh, well, she plays a pretty... Well, she's actually... I believe she's still on maternity leave right now. But She's the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs at the State Department, and she is also in charge of the State Department's Iran-Syria Operations Group, which is responsible for that $85 million democracy promotion campaign that I mentioned earlier.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's the role she's playing. You know, there have been reports, and I think I mentioned this in the story, that she seems to operate some sort of shadow policy within the State Department, and she certainly takes a hard line on Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, as we talked about earlier, you know, kind of the point of this democracy campaign, promotion campaign that she's running is basically to undermine the regime and possibly prop up some dissident groups and exile media operations, a lot of which are mm-hmm. are based out where you are in California, in Los Angeles.
Yeah, L.A. is a big center of expatriate Iranians.
Yeah.
And there is a satellite TV service that originates from L.A. That appears to be fairly popular in Iran.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And, in fact, this woman, Ladan Arkin, who is in the Pentagon's Iran directorate, well, apparently visited L.A. with a State Department official a couple months ago, ostensibly to kind of talk about perhaps using them in some of their activities.
Mm-hmm. Now, this $85 million democracy promotion campaign, is that secret? Do we know what the money's being spent on? I mean, is Liz Cheney working to develop Iranian Idol as a reality TV series that would help spread the great American values over there?
I mean, it's possible. I don't think, at least I'm not aware of exactly where that money's going at
mm-hmm.
this point.
In case you couldn't tell, I made up the part about Iranian Idol.
I mean, but that's kind of, you know, it's funny that you mention that because sometimes I think officials think in that sort of way. You know I did some reporting on the Office of Strategic Influence, which was this Pentagon operation that got shut down before Iraq. But its basic mission was, you know, hearts and minds, information warfare type
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they definitely thought in these types of ways. I mean, I think at one point they were thinking about how they could, you know, lure young Muslims into different websites, and they thought that, you know, maybe kind of like pornographic images might help them to do that or something like that.
Really?
So, yeah.
Gosh,
yeah.
And are they setting up a MySpace Iran with help from Rupert Murdoch?
They very well might.
All right, there's one more name, Dan, that we've got to get in here. He's
okay.
A gladiator from the Reagan years. This is Elliot Abrams, who took a pardon after he took one for the team.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of his. He returns to public service after you know, basically withholding information from Congress about what he knew about Iran-Contra, and now he is the assistant secretary. Deputy assistant to the president and the deputy national security advisor for global democracy strategy. They call him. So he's heavily involved in these democracy promotion campaigns,
mm-hmm.
Whatever exactly they are.
Well, there's a great cast of characters. It's only missing Henry Kissinger.
Right. Well, it's a selective list, you know. We had toyed with the idea of kind of updating it because there's certainly a lot more. There's certainly a lot more people and organizations that you can put on this list.
Mm-hmm.
There's no shortage of people who want to overthrow the regime.
Now, you also detail a little bit the Iran Policy Committee, which mm-hmm. Is headed by a former CIA officer named Claire Lopez.
Yes.
What are they doing?
Basically, there are a lot of different grades to regime change and how people think about it. And, you know, some people believe that there should be a military option, that the government should use the military option. But there are quite a few people that believe that we should essentially fund opposition groups that then might overthrow the regime. Mm-hmm. And that they're in that category.
Now, you name MEK. We've been mm-hmm. following them on our program. MEK actually originated in Iraq.
Yep.
And the word we have is that the U.S. gave them new uniforms and a new brand name, but it's the same fine group of terrorists is what they really are. And now they're working for us, and we've dispatched a group of them inside Iran. Is that consistent with your sources?
I'm not, I've heard stuff like that. I'm just not positive that it's true, that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, I spoke to Sam Gardner a couple weeks ago, and we had talked about some stuff like that. But I just haven't done my own reporting on it, so I'm not positive. I mean, there are certainly a lot of people that want to use them.
Yeah.
And this group is actively lobbying. You know, they're designated a terrorist entity right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we couldn't fund them.
Yeah. Well, Dan, thank you for your work. Thanks for joining us today. I want to direct people to motherjones.com and just enter Shulman, Chulman, in the search engine, and you'll get the story about Meet the Whack Iran Lobby. Thank you, Dan.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
Nice to talk with you. Coming up next, investigative reporter Robert Perry asks, is Bush crazy?
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at More Imported Cars, located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by More Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
A 1985 Porsche 911 SC Coupe, burgundy with cream beige interior. This Southern California car has been enthusiastically owned for the last 12 years and comes with a 3-month warranty. The price for this week only is reduced from $24,900 to $21,900.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's MOHR. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The money and the gifts have caught up to another congressman.
Republican leaders pushed him, saying there is no place for him in this Congress.
And Mother Nature's caught up with Buffalo.
Mother Nature sure threw the people of Western New York a curveball this Friday the 13th.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Lou Miliano. Trips, tickets, meals, money, lots of money, and Ohio Congressman Bob Ney pleads guilty. At the White House, spokesman Tony Snow.
What Congressman Ney did is not a reflection of the Republican Party. It's a reflection of Congressman Ney, and he ought to step down.
CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein says Ney promises to step down to clean out his desk over the next couple of weeks.
He pleaded guilty at U.S. District Court here to fraud and conspiracy charges, accepting tens of thousands of dollars in gifts and contributions from lobbyist Jack Abramoff in exchange for congressional favors. The Justice Department is recommending a 27-month prison term. Ney's sentence will be handed down in January. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Another finger for the accusers in the Mark Foley scandal. Ever since the content of the Florida congressman's less-than-discreet emails to young Capitol Hill pages broke, Democrats have said Republican leadership knew but kept quiet for politics and power, endangering the pages. Today, the majority leader in the House accused the Democrats of endangering pages.
Someone who had this information allowed the 16-year-old pages to be at risk while they were playing their political games, and hopefully we'll get to the bottom of who knew what and when.
Want to know more of what Ohio Congressman John Boehner knows? Boehner's volunteered to testify. Says he expects to be called next week by the Ethics Committee. Called today, the chairman of the House Page Board, Illinois Republican Congressman John Shimkus, who concedes he knew and tried to stop Foley last year.
I think there's stuff that everybody would have done differently.
A one-time chief of staff for former Congressman Foley has already told the committee he told House leadership about Foley's inappropriate contact with interns 3 years ago. Now this.
If you drive a Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury and need service, there's never been a better time for great deals than right now.
All right, now.
It's the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event at your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. You'll find special offers by the truckload on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. All installed by Ford factory-trained experts. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event ends soon.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now, should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Breaking developments on the heels of the crash of Yankees pitcher Corey Lytle's little fixed-wing plane into a New York skyscraper, killing Lytle and a flight instructor. The FAA late today issued new rules about little planes flying low around Manhattan. From now on, the planes are banned from over the East River unless the pilot's in contact with air traffic control. A corporate Gulfstream jet this afternoon reported to have overshot the runway at Bob Hope Airport in Burbank. A spokesman at the airport said no injuries among the seven on board. Among the seven, confirmed Yankees infielder Alex Rodriguez. Calls out to the Yankees and Rodriguez people have not been returned yet. They call it the lake effect, the snow-slamming Buffalo, New York each winter. They call this a record, up to 2 feet this early in the season. There are tens of thousands without power, and Governor George Pataki says it won't stop when the snow stops.
As the weather warms, there are going to continue to be trees coming down, power lines that might be coming down. As power comes back on with flooding in people's basements, they have to be very concerned if they throw on a switch.
At least three deaths in New York State have been attributed to the storm. A frightening discovery along a Florida highway near Fort Pierce. CBS News correspondent Peter King says it appears to be an entire family shot to death.
He says they're Hispanic, probably a family, definitely from somewhere in the South, but St. Lucie Sheriff Ken Mascaro won't say exactly where they're from or where they might have been going.
Because our detectives are following leads in both directions, and I can tell you those leads are multi-jurisdictional. Across the South,
investigators have collected bullets, casings. They're looking for other clues along.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's eight brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
Exactly.
Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer, like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's eight brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local...
It's time for another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, the progressive talk show that nobody asked for. Well, maybe I did. Coming up later this hour, we're going to meet Heather Woschuk, a blogger who's developed some interesting information on a question we've been puzzled by. How did Halliburton get a $300-plus million no-bid contract to build detention centers on America's southern border? We'll find out more about that and get some other comments from Heather Woschuk. That's coming up later this hour. Next hour, it's all about voting integrity, and our man Brad Friedman will be in the house. And for our listeners at KGOE 1480 in Eureka, it's true. Peter B's coming to town. We're going to do the show live from Blue Lake next Wednesday, October 18th. And most of the tickets have been spoken for, but keep listening to KGOE for more information. Returning to our program today is investigative journalist Robert Harry. His work is available at consortiumnews.com, and he published a piece that's also at truthout.org today, asking the question, is Bush delusional, or as we would say on the street, is he crazy?
But we're never going to survive unless we get a little crazy. No, we're never going to survive unless we are a little.
Yeah, George W. Bush is just trying to survive, and it does seem he's gone a little bit off the deep end. Bob Woodward's book, the new one, describes him as in a state of denial. But, Bob Perry, you followed carefully his news conference 2 days ago, and there are some kind of bizarre recasting of recent history that the president engages in.
Right, he's been doing this for a while now, and there's always the question of whether he doesn't know what the reality is, even when he lived through it, or that he's simply lying to the American people. I mean, those are kind of the two choices we're left with, because some of this is just not tenable. He, for instance, has said, really since the summer of 2003, and he just kept on with it, claiming that that he had no choice but to invade Iraq because Saddam Hussein had not abided by the UN resolutions requiring him to get rid of his weapons of mass destruction.
Mm-hmm.
When we now know that, in fact, those resolutions did work, that he had gotten rid of his weapons of mass destruction. And Bush has even gone to the point of claiming over and over and over again that Saddam refused to allow UN inspectors into his country to look for those weapons in late 2002 and early 2003 when he did.
Yeah.
we all saw them driving around in their white little vans and not finding anything. But instead of simply dealing with that reality, he started really in July of 2003 lying about it, saying that the weapons inspectors were not allowed in, which gave Bush no choice but to invade. So you have this kind of problem, which he keeps going back to.
Well, and to be fair to him, what he was struggling with was his argument that diplomacy alone is sufficient to deal with North Korea on the heels of their alleged nuclear detonation. We're now hearing that our government agencies don't believe it was a nuke detonated this past Sunday in North Korea. We'll still wait for a definitive word on that, but the president responded as if it had been a nuke, and he was trying to justify to the American people his pursuit of diplomacy with the crazy man in Pyongyang, and yet that wasn't sufficient for the crazy man in Baghdad.
Right, and I think they do sort of link together in certain ways, because if you're the crazy guy in North Korea, you're looking at what happened to Saddam Hussein, because he did disarm. We may not have believed it at the time, but certainly we now know he disarmed.
Mm-hmm.
We know that he let the UN inspectors in, that he was letting them go wherever they wanted, and that nothing he did stopped him from the consequences. And those consequences included this invasion of his country, his being deposed from power, the American forces hunted down and killed his two sons. He was captured and photographed in humiliating positions, including sitting around in his underpants. And he's now almost certain to end his life dangling from the end of a rope. So if that's what you do when you cooperate with the international community and do what the United States demands you do, why would anyone do it?
Mm-hmm.
And so we saw with North Korea, and actually this even goes back before 9/11, where Bush was being very tough and aggressive with North Korea, at least in terms of his words. If you remember back in March of 2001, when there was a summit between Kim Dae-jung, who was the president of South Korea, who was part of this effort to have a detente, to reach over, try to smooth things over with North Korea. And Colin Powell, who was Secretary of State, wanted to move in that direction too, but Bush overruled them and decided he was going to get tough with North Korea, and that included aiming American nuclear missiles at them. President Clinton had sort of stopped that because he did not want any nuclear missiles aimed at non-nuclear states, because Clinton felt that would give people an incentive to actually build nuclear weapons. But Bush said no, he was going to be tough. He was going to aim these nuclear weapons at North Korea. And at one point in 2002, when he was He had a tirade in front of some Republican members of Congress, and he called the leader of North Korea pygmy, and so that kind of talk led in some ways to the North Koreans responding as they have. So, mm-hmm. Well, yes, they're crazy, but they certainly have reasons to behave in the way they've done as well. And the example of Saddam Hussein is one, if you're in a situation, if you're on that axis of evil,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't give you a lot of reasons to cooperate with anybody.
Now, Robert Perry, I'm always struggling to find the brilliance in a Bush policy. It hasn't worked yet, but it doesn't stop me from trying. Now, what if this were strategery on Bush's part, that he wants to be perceived as a little unhinged, a little trigger-happy, and that this might keep our enemies off base or, you know, off key? You think that enters into his thinking?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to know what's going on inside anyone's head at any given time, and we don't have enough of the documentary evidence to say otherwise. But I do think that there is a sort of macho toughness where he was essentially setting himself as the opposite of Bill Clinton and Al Gore. And if you listen to what his foreign policy was, much of it similar to what you would hear if you listen to Rush Limbaugh or one of these right-wing talk radio guys, it's all tough bluster, you know, we can take them out. And it turns out not to be that easy, really, to conquer a country or destroy an enemy. It can be done, but it requires a tremendous amount of money, sacrifice of soldiers, and it's not something that should be done casually or lightly, but that was sort of the tone that he took. Now, whether he meant to do that and it just got out of hand, sort of Sorcerer's Apprentice kind of thing, where he meant to do one thing, but then other things started, you know, spiraling out of control, I don't know. I mean, that's certainly a good question, but certainly the consequences of his actions have not been what I think most of his admirers had expected or hoped for.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to encourage people to read this piece. Again, it's at truthout.org. It's entitled Bush and His Dangerous Delusions. You can also find it at Robert Perry's home base, that is consortiumnews.com. And the only fault that I would criticize you for here is that you're being excessively rational. You are taking the president's words at face value and then comparing them to reality. And isn't this the White House that creates its own reality?
Well, I mean, I think that's to some degree what happens, but I think there's also this point where what Bush tells the American people is one thing. For instance, he's made this point over and over again. He repeated it at the press conference on October 11th, that when he goes around the country, he says to people, don't listen to me about what's going to happen with Iraq if we leave. Listen to Osama bin Laden. And because, you know, they want us to leave. But what we now know, based on captured documents that have been translated and analyzed by U.S. intelligence, is that what al-Qaeda really wants is for the United States to stay. And that may seem counterintuitive to some people, but for instance, this recent letter that was put out by West Point, the so-called Atiyah letter, which is one of the lieutenants for Osama bin Laden, he says that they want a prolonged war in Iraq, that will serve their interests. And their thinking is that right now they're in a pretty fragile state. They're not very popular with many of the Iraqis because of what Zarqawi was doing, and they need to sort of, you know, smooth things over, use the American presence as a way to bring in more recruits, more jihadists, to get the jihadists trained, to get them more dedicated, and therefore to then eventually turn Iraq into the kind of base for operations that Bush says it would become. But the point is, they know that can't happen now, that if they're left on their own, and this is also from this letter that Zawahiri sent, the number mm-hmm. two guy in al-Qaeda,
right.
that if they're left on their own at this point, if the Americans leave, a lot of the young jihadists will go home, too. They'll just put their guns down and say, the heck with this. We're here to fight Americans, not Iraqis.
So then stay the course is the official policy of Al-Qaeda.
Right. Al-Qaeda wants us to stay the course.
Robert, we're going to take a break and return. Robert Perry, P-A-R-R-Y, is our guest on the program. You got a question? Bring it on. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll return in a moment for more of the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Jim Ross of National Real Estate Holdings is back as our special guest on Rock Rollin' Real Estate this Sunday at 10 a.m. Jim has got special offers just for Rock Rollin' Real Estate listeners. He has D.R. Horton Homes giving him a 2% discount on a purchase and a 2% discount towards closing costs to any deal in Austin, Houston, and Fort Worth, Texas that he's involved in. Call him at 866-383-9977. He also has a great deal in Palm Springs, but you have to listen this week to Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10 right here on KRXA.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi, as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
And taking a look at traffic, let's start off in Rio Del Mar. Looks like Rio Del Mar Boulevard at Clubhouse. We have a fender bender, right shoulder, 2 cars involved in this one. If you are in Salinas, northbound 101 after Ralph Lane, we have an injury crash. Paramedics and fire department on scene. This is 2 cars involved in this one. Looks like it's off to the shoulder. Interlake and Amador at Sombrera, we have an accident there, reportedly blocking lanes there. CHP on the way to the scene. And in Felton, Mount Hermon Road at Grant Hill, accident on the right shoulder, 2 vehicles involved, minor injuries as well. Fire department on the way to the scene. Well, feel the undeniable power of Panasonic Plasma. Know the big screen experience comes close. Experience the power at Panasonic.com. Panasonic, America's best-selling plasma TV, available at Best Buy. Mike McDowell with traffic on KRXA 540.
This is how we do it.
21 minutes past the hour. We're doing it here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Robert Perry. He's an investigative journalist, helped break the truth about the Iran-Contra scandal, working for Newsweek and for the Frontline series at PBS in the 1980s. And he's now at ConsortiumNews.com. I recommend you drop by. A lot of great information there. We don't have time to talk about it all. And there's an opportunity for you to help support their efforts. They came up short in their summer fundraising drive, so if you can make a contribution, I would appreciate it, and I'm sure Robert Perry would, too. Bob, I wanted to just ask you, during the break, I took a look at some of the reaction to the delusional Bush article on your website, and one correspondent cited Justin Frank's book, Bush on the Couch. And Frank, by the way, we've interviewed him. He doesn't pretend to be Bush's therapist, but from public documents and available information, he's offered his considered opinion. And Dr. Frank wrote, a careful consideration of the evidence regarding Bush's psychic state suggests that behind his affable exterior operates a powerful but obscure delusional system that drives his behavior. The most precise psychiatric term to describe his pathology is most frequently used to identify a particular condition exhibited by schizophrenics, that is, we'll see, has broader applications as well, megalomania. That's a pretty stunning indictment.
Right. Well, I'm not a psychiatrist, and I don't pretend to understand all that either. But I think it is interesting. As I'm a journalist, and I've covered politicians for a lot of years, and I've never seen anything quite like this. I've never seen anything quite as blatant with a willingness to say things that are just at such odds with the truth. And again, I think there are two possible explanations. One is he really has lost touch with reality, even things he witnessed. Like the presence of the UN inspectors in Iraq, or he's just lying and feels he has enough confidence to do that, and has enough defenders around him that no one will dare challenge him. And one of the striking things when Bush began to talk about how the inspectors were not allowed into Iraq, in July in 2003, and then on for the last several years, is that I can't think of a time when anyone in the White House press corps has challenged this.
Yeah.
So maybe he's just someone confident enough to say things that are blatantly false, and knowing that no one in a position to challenge him will do so.
I'm just going to keep BSing because nobody's stopping me.
Right, and I think that's possible, and that could be a calculated Machiavellian approach.
Mm-hmm.
And there's evidence for that. I mean, he did. We know from the Downing Street memo. We know from the minutes of a meeting in January of 2003 when he was talking about painting up a American U-2 plane in UN colors and then trying to get Saddam to shoot it down so he'd have a pretext to go to war. But there is a Machiavellian aspect to all this.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling the American people at the time that that war was a last resort, that he didn't want to go to war, but he did. He'd long decided to go to war. So we do know that in many cases what he says is false. But I guess the question is, which is kind of an interesting one for a lot of psychologists and other people who just observe this, is whether it's something he can't control, that is, he's delusional,
mm-hmm.
or that he's just feels he can get away with lying as much as he wants.
Yeah. Robert Perry with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to turn next to a posting that actually was originally published 6 years ago on your website. And you brought it back because of the dust-up with North Korea. And what you point out is that Reverend Sung Myung Moon, who is nominally a South Korean and tied in with the South Korean CIA and a guy who's got his fingers in many, many different directions, he gave a $3 million birthday present to Kim Jong-il a few years back.
Right. A lot of this goes back to the early 90s when these were Defense Intelligence Agency field reports, and I obtained them under the Freedom of Information Act. And what they show is that there was this aspect of what Moon was doing, while he's sort of renowned as an anti-communist, that he was also doing these sort of deals with North Korea, and as he's often done with Western politicians, including, for instance, George H.W. Bush, former president, he's paid them a lot of money. Sometimes he does it for speaking fees. Sometimes he just sort of does it because people show up at different meetings. But according to these DIA reports, he was also doing that with not just the current North Korean leader, but also his father, who was, I think he died in the early 90s. So so you have this, you have these payments that are being done, mostly apparently for business relationships that Moon was trying to develop. But in that period, this was when North Korea was desperately looking for a hard currency to develop its military hardware, including nuclear weapons. So you had this aspect where you have this, this man who is a, was also a U.S. resident alien. He has a green card.
Right.
So he comes under American law, and there are, there have been and continue to be strict embargoes on what, on financial dealings with North Korea. So, but the Moon is so well connected now with the Washington Times and all the money he has spread around over the years that he's almost untouchable, and he acts that way.
And,
so I think what this is another sign that no one's going to, no one's going to challenge him even when he's dealing with North Korea.
And your research indicated that Moon has earmarked, we don't know that, that it's all been delivered, but a total of $10 million for Poppy Bush?
Right. After President Bush left office in 1993, he essentially goes to work for Reverend Moon. He starts giving speeches. He gives them in the United States. He gives them in Asia. Some of them are done with the former First Lady Barbara Bush. In 1996, when Moon's having trouble getting a newspaper off the ground in South America, Tiempos del Mundo, Bush flies down to sort of help him smooth things out. He gives a speech at the inaugural meeting of the newspaper, and calls Moon the man with the vision. And so, and according to one of his Moon's top people, who I interviewed after he'd left the church, Moon's church, the fellow said that that Moon had earmarked $10 million for payments to Bush. And we know a lot of that was paid. We're not sure the total amount, but a lot of it was passed on.
Very interesting. Read more about it at consortiumnews.com. Robert Perry, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Nice to talk with you. Coming up next, blogger Heather Wokisch joins us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to find out about those detention centers on the southern border.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Or treason. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network, sponsored by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Wherever in the world you compete, Michigan can give you the upper hand. Here in the U.S., retired generals are criticizing Iraq policy all the time. It's expected. No American newsroom is complete without a tough-talking retired general. But British General Sir Richard Dannett, chief of the British Army, is not retired. And yesterday, the Daily Mail quoted him as saying, "We should get ourselves out of Iraq sometime soon, because our presence exacerbates the security problems." Now, this was shocking, so I brought out the treason meter, which is the only objective way to decide whether what the general said is treason. Let me flip it on and read quote number one. "Our presence exacerbates the security problem." Not treason. Okay, quote number two. "The planning for the occupation was poor, probably based more on optimism than sound planning." Again, not treason. Now, that is strange, because what the general is saying goes directly what an idiot! I had the machine on the metric units. I've been testing these quotes by European standards. Okay, let's try it again. Quote number one, "Our presence exacerbates security problems." There we go. Quote number two, "Planning was based on optimism." There you go. Treasonous both. Let the discrediting process begin. That was a close call. For a moment there, it looked like the top general of our closest ally in Iraq might actually, as they say, know what he was talking about. Apparently, we've blown a capacitor. Now this.
Hi, I'm Jeff Daniels to let you know that Michigan is more than a wonderful place to live. It's a great place to build a business. Take TJ Technologies.
They're revolutionizing the modern-day battery for NASA, defense, and everyday use. And while competitors moved overseas, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation helped TJ with all the resources they needed to succeed right here in Michigan. And they can do the same for you. Find out how at Michigan.org, because wherever in the world you compete, Michigan can give you the upper hand.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is Hans Down, the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820. In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Coming up next hour, Brad Friedman, proprietor of bradblog.com. In his weekly visit, we're going to talk about emergency paper ballots and electronic voting machines and all kinds of stuff like that related to voter integrity. And on the same theme, next Wednesday, we take the Peter B. Collins Show live to Blue Lake, California in the Eureka Arcata area. And I hope you'll come out and see us there. We'll be broadcasting live from 3 to 6 p.m. Get in touch with KGOE for more information. The first round of tickets is gone, but we're going to try to make a few additional ones available. So keep listening to 1480 KGOE for that detail. Joining us now is a journalist and blogger, Heather Wokush, who contacted me a few weeks ago, and I'm intrigued by some of the topics that she has been covering. I'm just a little jealous because she informed me that she divides her time between California and Vienna, Austria, a beautiful city that I've visited a few times, and she joins us from Wien this afternoon or early in the morning, her time. Thank you for that sacrifice, staying up all night to join us, Heather.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thank you.
And give us a little background on what brought you into journalism. And you've been blogging for a number of years. I saw some posts that go back to 2001, 2002.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Actually, I'm a career educator. And I, quite frankly, you know, when Bush came into office, this was part of my political awakening, because I realized, oh my goodness, things really could get quite bad. And so I just started researching things for myself and then writing for myself. And I thought, well, you know, I might as well just post this someplace. And it just really took off because people wanted to read this research that I had done. And so now it's just taken off into the site and then the two books.
You've published a couple of volumes, The Progressive's Handbook. Tell us about that.
Well, you know what? I got tired of getting so many emails. I would write these articles, and then I would get so many emails from people saying, I feel hopeless. I don't know what to do. Things are so bad. And I thought, you know what? What I want to do is to make, I want to reframe this, and I want to completely talk about what is going on, give the hard facts, but then at the same time provide really clear action tips that each of us can take every day. I think that it's a really important switch that we must make in the progressive movement to empower ourselves. And that doesn't mean to say, oh, well, Congress should pass a law, but rather, you know, what can we do every day? You know, if you got 10 minutes in the evening after you go to work and you cook dinner and then you play with the kids, you got 10 minutes. Well, you know, in that 10 minutes, there's stuff you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the whole point of these two books. And in each chapter, the first 30 pages just breaks the bad news on, you know, different topics, for example, media or education. But mm-hmm. then in the next perhaps 6 pages of each chapter, it talks about what you can do. And that was the whole point of the books.
And did it give you renewed hope?
Yeah.
Because, you know, hope...
Well, I'm kind of completely obsessed with this viewpoint now that we must. And so at the end of all of my articles now, I'm also saying, okay, here are some action ideas. You know, because mm-hmm. I think it's just not enough anymore to say, okay, here's why things are bad. I think that we simultaneously must define what each of us can do to mm-hmm. make it better.
Well, in fact, let's go in reverse then, because I did notice that, and I was struck by the suggestions that you offer. So we're going to talk about the Military Commissions Act. And by the way, I renamed it in a manner that's consistent with the Orwellian titles that the Bush administration gives its legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And I refer to it now as the Joe Stalin Detention, Torture, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006. But the official title is the Military Commissions Act of 2006, and you offer three action ideas. One is to read the damn thing for yourself.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
find out how your representatives voted on the legislation, and that's an important issue, and we do raise it when we talk to elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you say, for more information on American prisoner abuse, check out the BBC's report from 2005 entitled Torture, Inc., America's Brutal Prisons. And I think that's a very important subject because I've been interested in and active in the prison system in California for 20 years, and it truly is a gulag. There are thousands of individuals who are locked away whose legal rights have been traded off for political gain. And if people knew more about that, they probably wouldn't sit still for it. And then your third action item is regarding the plight of prisoners at Guantanamo Bay, to visit cageprisoners.com. Now, I've never been there. What's that site offer?
Oh, it's super. It just basically deals with all of these prisoners of the so-called war on terror. It focuses on Guantanamo, but it has articles and action ideas and everything. It's a super site. I would recommend it for anybody who's interested in these areas. And, you know, the whole point that I'm talking about Guantanamo and also the U.S. prison system here is that I really believe that we need to take these things personally. You know, I mean, your Kangaroo Court Torture Act, as you have so appropriately defined it, you know, this hits home. You know, this is not something that's only affecting those people over there. I mean, this is getting very close to home, and we need to take this personally and to learn more about our domestic prison system, understanding that, you know, there could be a lot more people in there very soon, and they could be some of us, you know.
Well, and I believe that this Military Commissions Act is a new low point in American history, and that it's a day, you know, that will live in a sort of infamy for a long, long time. And what strikes me is we've had a couple of guests on to talk about the issues this week, but they've been kind of swept aside because now we have a sex scandal. And the sex scandal was first revealed in a broadcast just 2 hours after the defining vote by the United States Senate, where 12 Democrats who didn't have to voted in favor of this draconian legislation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly.
And now it's all Foley Gate all the time, and you try to raise the issue about habeas corpus. I give Keith Olbermann on MSNBC credit because he's gone to great lengths to make it interesting and even a little sexy because it's a pretty arcane legal issue that will never touch most Americans. But it is a fundamental right in our criminal justice system and, in fact, in justice systems around the world. And for us to depart from that is stunning, in my view, and the lack of outrage by most Americans is deeply troubling, in my view.
Yes, I would say lack of outrage stemming from lack of awareness of what is going on, and clearly the media hasn't helped. And, you know, the language in this Military Commissions Act is so vague. I've had so many people write me and say, well, but it only says that aliens can be, you know, subject to these military commissions. But the point is, it does not say that U.S. citizens cannot. You know what I mean? And so it's
let's be specific. We're talking with Heather Wokush here on the Peter B. Collins Show. A, it permits the president or his designees to define what an unlawful enemy combatant truly is. And once somebody is designated a UEC, they lose all kinds of rights. They can be tortured. The president can separate the rights of those individuals from the Geneva Conventions at his whim. And then you go into the detention process that includes enhanced interrogation. I call that torture.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finally get to the military commissions. Now, it's not clear to me if an American citizen could be labeled a UEC, detained, and then put before a tribunal. I think they would have to actually try an American citizen in an American court, but it's a gray area that's going to have to be sorted out. And we have people like Arlen Specter who said, well, I opposed it because it didn't have habeas corpus, but I voted for it because I'm confident the Supreme Court will overturn it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, and they would overturn it because you can only suspend habeas corpus in times of rebellion or invasion. And so, yes, people are thinking that they will overturn it, but, I mean, for heaven's sakes. And as you have alluded to, you know, the definition is so vague. It's like a person who has engaged in hostilities or material-supported hostilities against the U.S. I mean, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a bit too open. Ended for comfort.
Well, Heather, the example I've been using, which might be a slight stretch, but I don't think it's a big one, is Daniel Ellsberg. He published a powerful article in Harper's Magazine, the October edition, calling on people inside the administration to blow the whistle, as he did with the Pentagon Papers, to blow the whistle on our intentions toward Iran. And for that, I believe that it's possible under this law that Bush, if he signs it, and this is interesting, he said, I gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it, but he hasn't signed it.
Right. Yeah, he's too busy, you know, stumping for candidates, I guess.
At any rate,
yeah.
When it becomes law, I believe that it could be construed in a manner to silence Daniel Ellsberg, because if, in fact, somebody went public and published some, you know, documents that are top secret, they could somehow say that Daniel Ellsberg colluded in that attack on our government.
Yes, that indeed is the case. Quite frankly, I would be even more concerned about people who don't have the name recognition of Daniel Ellsberg, you know, that would be just kind of shunted away into prisons here and there. I mean, it opens up a can of worms. This is absolutely true. But, you know, what I was thinking today, if we just look at the past 2 weeks only, okay, so we had this Military Commissions Act, this horrible thing. We had the National Intelligence Estimate that said that, you know, the Iraq War is fueling terrorism. We found that, you know, 655,000 Iraqis possibly or most likely have died as a result of the invasion. We've got this North Korea, we've got Foley, we've got Ney. Meanwhile, we've got an armada heading to Iran. You know, I think one of the problems here is not only that people don't have the information about these specific things, but also that there is just so much going on,
mm-hmm.
and it's quite overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I really, truly believe that it's crucial that we just stop and understand that all of these seemingly disparate events actually are connected. You know, as you said, well, isn't it interesting that they have this Military Commissions Act, and then the next day, you know, we learn about Foley, you know, right after.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to, I believe, and that's another point of the books, is to look at how all of these things connect. And then it's almost like putting together a puzzle, because then at that point it's like, aha, okay, now we can fight against it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Heather, one of the cases that we've been following that has gotten zero media attention through one of our contributors, Larissa Alexandrovna. She is a managing editor at rawstory.com,
mm-hmm.
and she emigrated from Russia to the United States as a child. She has a cousin who was living in Florida and who was picked up in an immigration sweep recently. She is a green card holder. And she apparently has some sort of a criminal conviction that is 20 years old.
Ah.
And on that basis, they picked her up. They have treated her in a very rough manner when they have moved her from one place to another. She is shackled and thrown face down into the back of a van.
Oh, my God.
She requires heart medication, and they have declined to give it to her and have mocked her when she has asked for it. And I believe they have moved her two, if not three times. She was out of communication completely for the first 48 hours. And we understand that this is not an isolated case, that in Florida, up to 1,000 people with similar situations, they're non-residents, but they are not illegal aliens, to make a distinction. And yet we have seen absolutely no coverage in the corporate media on a story that I think deserves a lot greater attention. I don't know why the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, they're now called ICE, I don't know why they have started this sweep. It's called Return to Sender. But it's something that bears scrutiny, and it should be done in a transparent manner, and it's not.
Well, clearly, and this goes back to the whole Daniel Ellsberg thing. You know, it's the people who can kind of be quietly shunted around and put that I'm really the most concerned about, you know, as far as their safety and indeed, you know, the integrity of their care, everything like this. And you were alluding also to the detention centers. Well, mm-hmm. The detention centers were, it is for ICE, basically.
Right.
The whole thing is because they said, quote, in the event of an emergency influx of immigrants to the U.S. Now,
right.
this is what they say.
I want to take a break, and we'll pick up and go into detail on those detention centers as we continue. And Ben in Salinas is one of my stalwart listeners who's very focused on this issue. Ben, stay tuned. We'll cover that next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, our guest is Heather Woschuk, and her website is heatherwokush.com. That's W-O-K-U-S-C-H, and I have it misspelled on my list here, but we'll get it right for you. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
And taking a look at traffic, we're going to start off the problem on Highway 17 southbound near Campbell on the Hamilton Avenue off-ramp of a gas leak that has been reported. And the CHP is en route to conduct traffic control, so possible delays reported there. So be advised if you're traveling in that area. Interlake and Amador at Samora at Sumbura. We have a two-car crash there reportedly blocking lanes. CHP is, in fact, on scene. Prunedale, northbound on 101 right after Ralph Lane. Two-vehicle crash blocking the right lane. Minor injuries reported. And in Aptos, Highway 1 northbound on the State Park Drive off-ramp. Stalled car blocking that ramp. We'll say hola to warm weather. Fly Alaska Airlines from San Francisco to Mexico, including stop on Mazatlan or hop on one of their new nonstop flights to Cancun starting October 29th. Make your reservation. Stay at alaskaair.com. Mike McDowell with traffic on KXRA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with blogger and journalist Heather Wokush, W-O-K-U-S-C-H. And Heather, am I pronouncing your name properly?
Pretty close. It's Wokush.
You say Wokush.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I never really mastered German, so...
Close enough.
I still think of a W as a W.
Yeah.
With no reference to the current occupant of the White
House. Oh, yeah.
And just before I ask you to go into detail about these the detention camps that Halliburton is building under a no-bid contract, I want to mention to our listeners that the New York Times reports today that some documents that were obtained by the American Civil Liberties Union, the dreaded ACLU, show that the Defense Department, now this is not the FBI, this is not any Homeland Security operation, the Department of Defense has been conducting surveillance on what they call potential terrorist activity, including the Stop the War rally in Akron, Ohio in March 2005, and anti-war protests at the University of California, Santa Cruz, which is in our listening area, in May of 2005. Again, the Department of Defense has been conducting that kind of surveillance. Now, Heather, who got the contract to Halliburton? Is this out of Homeland Security and the Immigration Control Agency, or is this out of the Pentagon?
Well, officially it's out of the Homeland Security. But actually, you know, before we get into this, I wanted to add something that from what you had just said. You know, it's really interesting in this, the National Intelligence Estimate that was released in late September. I don't know if you read that last, there was a sentence right at the end, and I've got it right here, quote, it said, anti-U.S. and anti-globalization sentiment is on the rise and fueling other radical ideologies.
Mm-hmm.
This could prompt some leftist, nationalist, or separatist group to adopt terrorist methods to attack U.S. interests, unquote. So this goes along with what you said. They're saying that if you are an anti-globalization person,
mm-hmm.
then basically you are equated with a terrorist.
Well, they were investigating a vegetarian group in Indianapolis.
Oh, God. I mean, now this is where it gets scary, because then, you know, as far as these whole internment camps, you know, or detention camps, we have to keep in mind our country has had plans and has carried this out before. Of course, the Japanese American internment camps, you got mm-hmm. 120,000 people. And of course, Oliver North, you know, had his crazy ideas to suspend the Constitution in the event of a national crisis, and he defined that as also including widespread dissent or national opposition to a U.S. military invasion. And so we've had cases in our country's history in which this has come to the fore. But when you connect it again to this whole, you know, Military Commissions Act that passed, then it becomes even more serious and even more interesting, I guess you could say. Now,
I would use the word sinister, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, scary on so many fundamental levels. Now, the whole thing regarding this Halliburton thing, I have seen so many reports across the internet, and people say, oh, okay, there's these camps, and they're being built, and here and there, and then you check, and they don't have any sources for this. And so the only thing that I will repeat for you today is what I have sourced, either through,
mm-hmm.
you know, either through Halliburton's own press releases or credible reports, things like this.
Okay.
So the bottom line is that it's Kellogg Brown and Root, the Halliburton subsidiary, and
right.
they also had this contract from 2000 to 2005. They had a similar ICE contract during that time. And so what happened is this was just renewed.
It isn't
that it's a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line, as you mentioned, I mean, they Halliburton in their press release says that it's a competitive contract, but they were the only bidder. You know, so, I mean, how competitive is that? And regarding what they actually are doing, everything that I have looked for, they don't give specific locations like, okay, right here it's being built and right there it's being built.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly the focus is that they're, what they have said is that they would use empty military bases, for example, or temporary detention facilities. And what the money mainly is going to is to, you know, develop processing capabilities and things about how they could rapidly expand the capacity to keep people in these things. So it isn't like building physical buildings as much as putting these nefarious plans into place, from what I can see.
And do we know how many detention centers we get for $385 million?
Well, I mean, who knows? What they do say here is that they each detention center would keep up to 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't give any numbers. But I think the bottom line is we can... Maybe I'm just, you know, cynical, but I'm assuming that if they are thinking of something on a broader level to actually imprison, you know, Americans, then I don't think that $385 million is going to do it. I'm assuming that there must be, you know, secret elements in the Pentagon budget or God knows where in the other plans, and this is just what the public is seeing.
Well, to build a brick and mortar prison in California is in the $700 to $800 million range. So, you know, you could do a concertina wire military base fence in for far less than that. Still, I would love to find out more of the details. And the Progressive magazine is the only place that I've seen any substantive reporting on this.
Yeah, but I think also another element is that these can change so quickly. You know, I think that if they are saying, okay, here it is, it's in this location, and you can see it now, then I would see that as a dummy. I think that the bigger problems that we need to look at are the plans that are going, you know, underneath where the physical buildings are and mm-hmm. things of that nature. Because
well,
that's the scary part.
I have suggested that we could save a lot of money if we combined one of these detention centers with the George W. Bush Presidential Library and Incarceration Center for Guilty Administration officials. We'll have to see how that pans out. Could be a pipe dream.
Yeah.
Heather, thank you very much for joining us. Heather Vokush, Vokush at heathervokush.com.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Nice to meet you. Thanks for joining us. Coming up next, Brad Friedman, his weekly visit. We're going to talk about paper ballots and election integrity right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call us at 888-5-PETER-B.
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together, we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540, KRXA.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are in many ways so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Malietto. Another Yankee star, another incident with a small plane, but this time, everyone's okay. This afternoon at the Bob Hope Airport in Burbank, a corporate Gulfstream jet ran out of runway on landing.
We have installed at the end of this runway in question a kind of emergency pavement
that is designed to collapse under the weight of an aircraft that goes off the normal runway surface. This airplane did that and came to a stop.
Airport spokesman Victor Gill, there were no injuries among the seven on board, which included Yankees third baseman Slugger Alex Rodriguez. Again, no injuries in Burbank. A continent away, NTSB investigators are still on the scene in New York City, where Yankees pitcher Corey Lytle and a flight instructor died when Lytle's private plane crashed into a high-rise 2 days ago. The crash brought to light standing permission given small planes flying around New York City. They can, letting they stay low and don't stray over Manhattan skyscrapers. But at the FAA, spokeswoman Laura Brown says new restrictions have been imposed.
The FAA is excluding fixed-wing aircraft from the corridor for safety considerations unless the aircraft obtains authorization from and is being controlled by air traffic control.
Lytle's plane was flying the popular corridor down the Hudson, around the Statue of Liberty, and then up the East River when an apparent effort to make a U-turn ended with the crash into a high-rise of luxury condos. Eyebrows from Washington to Tokyo went up today when word leaked out there was no radiation detected after North Korea's underground test, when there should have been had it been the test of a nuclear weapon. This evening in Washington, CBS News correspondent Mark Noller says it would appear it was a nuke after all.
The U.S. government is not yet ready to make an official announcement, but is in the process of analyzing new air sampling data, indicating that the North Korean underground blast this week was in fact a nuclear detonation. A senior administration official tells CBS News that the data is now the subject of interagency evaluation, and a definitive determination will only come when all the agencies agree on the finding. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
She disappeared nearly a week ago. University of Vermont student was walking to her dorm, used a guy's cell phone, and no one's seen her since, until today. The body of 21-year-old Michelle Gardner Quinn was found near a popular swimming spot east of downtown Richmond, Vermont. Burlington Police Chief Thomas Tremblay says they already have a suspect in custody on child sex charges in another case, the guy whose phone she used last Saturday when she went missing. By the closing bell, the Dow had set another closing record, up 13 points to close out the day at 11,960. Tech-heavy NASDAQ was up 11 points at 2,357. This is CBS News.
Get the good stuff. Even with today's high-tech engines, an oil change every 3,000 miles is still the most important maintenance you can do. It improves fuel economy and dependability and helps you avoid costly repairs. And right now at NAPA, you can get Valvoline conventional motor oil for just $2.39 per quart. Plus, buy six quarts and get a $6 mail-in rebate. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. NAPA, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Does a promise come with an expiration date? Is it good for a day, a year, 30 or 50 years? At New York Life, we make promises that have no expiration date. And when we make a promise, we live by it. The promise to pay a claim, to provide for and protect a family. It is why New York Life is built on the unshakable values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. Keeping our promises is why New York Life is the company you keep.
One game away from the World Series, the Detroit Tigers beating the Oakland A's 3-0 on this frosty Friday the 13th. Tigers radio voice Dan Dickerson called the final out of the game.
Grounded up the middle, Santiago Field from behind second, throws to first, and the Tigers have a 3-0 lead over the Oakland A's.
Oakland has only one more shot at staying alive tomorrow afternoon in Detroit. Otherwise, it will be the Tigers to the World Series. He smacked two balls into the water on the fourth hole at Augusta Pines. He said his back was hurting him. And while he continued to play for the gallery, he stopped keeping score for the rest of the round. 77-year-old Arnold Palmer, with tears in his eyes, said he's through. He said it's time to stop playing competitive golf as he withdrew from the Champions Tour event. I'm Lou Milliano, CBS News.
If you drive a Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury and need service, there's never been a better time for great deals than right now. All right now. It's the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event at your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. You'll find special offers by the truckload on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. All installed by Ford factory-trained experts. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event ends soon.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
We launch into another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Every Friday in our final hour, we devote it to election integrity issues. And in just a second, we're going to bring on Brad Friedman. But we're buying a little time for his Bradness because he is trying to get out one last dispatch before he comes on the air with us. Hey, Matt, come on over to the microphone, will you? Our producer, Matt Renner, is struggling today. Because his Oakland Athletics lost another game in the ACLS, and one more game, and Detroit has it. Matt, how are you doing?
Not so good, as you can probably hear from the cracking of my voice.
Well, I wanted people just to get a taste of that. You lost your voice 2 days ago when the A's lost to the Tigers.
Yeah, it was an exciting game because at the end they almost won it with a big home run from their supposed best player, but he inevitably popped out.
Yeah, and then they lost this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay?
I am. I just can't talk, so I don't sound like it.
All right. Well,
I'll go answer the phone.
Okay, thank you. And by the way, our phone number is 888-5-PETER-B. If you'd like to call and talk to Brad and me this hour about election issues. Brad Friedman, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B., can you ask Matt if the Cardinals won?
Oh, Matt, did the Cardinals win? He doesn't know.
Oh.
He's just laser focused on the A's.
A lot of good he is.
We'll get
my
back
hometown
to him.
Team, but I haven't been able to follow any. Haven't been able to follow it myself.
That's because you're blogging like a maniac.
Tell me about it.
I just did.
Okay.
Well, Brad, first up, I want to commend you because you never rest, and even though the legislation that you proposed was picked up by Senator Boxer and Congressman Holt, it didn't clear, as one might have expected, the Republican-controlled Congress. And you didn't give up there. You and Velvet Revolution dispatched letters to all 50 states this week imploring governors and election officials to provide emergency paper ballots for those who wish to use them in this November 7th midterm election.
We did. We implored them to create plans and procedures to make sure that they're going to have not just ballots for people who wish to use them, but in cases where the machines break down, as you know, they have all year long in the primary elections. And we were able to build a pretty broad coalition of folks from Common Cause to Verified Voting, a lot of election integrity groups like that, Vote Trust USA, Voter Action, as well as individuals like Bobby Kennedy and John Kerry, interestingly mm-hmm. enough, came on board, and computer scientists like Doug Jones, elections officials like Ion Sancho from down in Florida. So it was a big group of folks who are seeing the writing on the wall and see what, are looking at exactly what we may be facing this November 7th that you and I have been talking about for the last year or so. But unfortunately, the rest of the media hasn't. So I I'll always preface it by saying I hope to God I'm wrong. But I see no evidence of that. I suspect we're going to have a real, real mess on our hands November 7th.
Well, we kicked off the show today with your friend, I think, at least somebody you've been in touch with a long time, Clint Curtis in Florida.
Oh, yeah, so
guy,
good.
And he offered pretty stark advice to people that he says we cannot trust the election systems almost regardless of how they are operated.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, because unless you can have complete transparency, and unfortunately our democracy has gone in completely the opposite direction so that, more than 80% of the systems that we will be using this November are, in fact, completely run with secret software and secret counting methods that the public is simply not allowed to see. This does not bode well for democracy. And recent court decisions, Busby Bilbray election that I was following down there in San Diego, have shown that, unfortunately, the Republicans are willing to go, as if we didn't know this, but are willing to go to almost any means necessary to keep the citizens from actually being able to look at those votes and to find out how they're counted. That happened, as you know, in Ohio in 2004. It happened in Florida in 2000. And
Georgia, 2002, the Max Cleland stolen election.
That's right. And, the fact of the matter is, if people think it's getting better, it's not. It is getting worse, much worse. In fact, a lot of it is getting worse because of the Help America Vote Act, which was passed after that 2000 election, supposedly to fix the problems that occurred then, but it has only exacerbated them. And why not? The 2000 election, a lot of people don't realize, the disaster that happened that night was kicked off when a Diebold optical scan voting machine registered negative 16,000 votes for Al Gore. And, incredibly, the Help America Vote Act, HAVA, gives more than $3 billion for these states and counties around the country to put in Diebold optical scan voting machines and touchscreen voting machines and several other companies that are equally bad, if not worse, like ES&S, Sequoia, Hart Inner Civic. So,
help me clarify something here, Brad, because yesterday I made a comment related to HAVA, the Help America Vote Act, and one of our pals in this work, Emily Levy, sent me an email saying that I had misspoken, so I wanted to get it correct because I'm not a godlike figure here, and I'm happy to acknowledge when I make a mistake.
Well, Emily works with the VelvetRevolution.us, so if she said it, I'm going to side with her, Peter.
Well, let's see.
Don't even know what it is.
So what I said was that HAVA requires these districts to buy electronic voting machines, and her correction was that they're not all electronic, like the SmartPad is a new device, but it doesn't have the hackable problems of the touchscreen machines. So let's just put it this way. Explain to us explicitly what HAVA does require states and voter jurisdictions to do.
Okay, first kudos to Emily because she is right on the money. They do not require electronic voting systems, and you were referring to the VotePad, which is, in fact, a system for disabled voters that allows them to vote without any help and without the need of a computer. So those devices exist. Really, all that HAVA calls for is to make sure that there is at least one a disabled accessible voting device in each polling location. That's it. No one ever said those things have to be electronic.
I see.
Now, that was, however, that was pushed big time by not just Diebold, but the politicians who passed this bill, and it's been passed on by the media over and over again where they say, oh, HAVA requires jurisdictions to upgrade to electronic voting. Nothing could be further from the truth, and yet that line of reasoning has even sunk into you accidentally, so that you had that impression. It's absolutely wrong. And in fact, as you mentioned, VotePad, which is a superb alternative to these electronic voting machines, allows the disabled voters to vote without any help. That system, which, you know, as I say, uses no computer, allows a disabled voter to actually mark their own ballots, was torpedoed in the state of California by the Secretary of State. They allowed all of these machines, these crappy machines that simply don't work, that are hackable, made by, you know, Diebold and Sequoia and so forth, to be used in California. They went ahead and certified those systems. But when you had a paper and pencil solution like VotePad, oh, that was just too dangerous, and they just couldn't certify it for the state of California. This is a scam, Peter, from top to bottom.
Well, I'm glad that's clarified. And, Emily, I appreciate you bringing it to our attention. And I just want to put this out to any listener. If you ever catch me misstating something, I want you to call it to my attention because it's usually unintentional. And if I simply have it wrong, I want to get corrected. Brad, it's about time to go to a break. Why don't we pause here just for a moment of sneering? Because it was today that Bob Ney, one of the co-authors of the Help America Vote Act, pled guilty to his part in the Jack Abramoff influence peddling scandal. He has refused, or at least so far, he has declined to resign. He says he will, but he has not yet. And the Republican leaders of the House, now that they reopened the ethics office for the instant Foley hearings, have decided that if he doesn't resign real soon, they're going to bounce him. They will expel him from the House. And however it works out, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. We'll take a break and return with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. If you've never been to Bradblog, you got to do it. Log on right now or whenever you get the chance. There's a lot of powerful information there. And we'll talk more as we continue. If you'd like to join us with a question or comment, please do. The lines are open for you toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372 or 1-888-PETER-B toll-free. 16 minutes past the hour, you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake Elistero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Good evening. Taking a look at a Friday getaway traffic, Interlake and Amador at Sombra. We have an accident in the final clearing stage. There's two vehicles involved. Prunedale northbound 101 after Ralph. We have a two-vehicle crash. It's been cleared to the right shoulder. Now, tow trucks are on scene. I've got to tell you, traffic heavily backed up at this point. Monterey County Highway 68 at Salinas River Bridge. We have several pipes rolling around in lanes. Also want to mention Aptos. So, Kell Drive at Highway 1, two-vehicle crash reportedly blocking lanes. And eastbound 152 at San Felipe, disabled vehicle, partially blocking the roadway there. Well, now at Mattress Discounters Pillow Top Sale, you'll save up to $400 at Sealy Posturepedic Pillow Top, plus sleep free for a year on approved credit. Mattress Discounters, have a good night's sleep for less. Mike McDowell with traffic on KRXA 540.
Coming out of your speakers, and if you don't mind, it's Friday, and I just feel like rocking out a little bit.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire. I'll send you to burn. Fire. I'll send you to learn. I'll see you burn.
Oh, that feels much better. Thanks, Arthur Brown. We continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I continue as your humble host, Peter B., and Brad Friedman is with us live from the Brad Blog Worldwide headquarters. And he just pushed out another dispatch a few minutes back. We'll probably touch on that shortly here. Jennifer joins us from McKinleyville. Hello, Jennifer. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. This kind of speaks to the idea that we have to get people out to vote in the numbers that will overcome any election fraud.
Yes, that's what I call exceeding the margin of graft.
Exactly. And MoveOn.org has a program. It's callforchange.org. And people can call, can basically do get out the vote work from anywhere in the country. And they're constantly monitoring the key races, the key congressional races that need help at any given time. And you call into these districts, and it's basically just, like I said, get out the vote work.
Mm-hmm.
And they've actually targeted people who are maybe undecided and maybe leaning progressive.
Well, Jennifer, I just got invited by email from someone I've never met to attend an event this Sunday night, and it's called Call for Change. And it involves a screening of Robert Greenwald's new documentary called Iraq for Sale.
Exactly. And that's they're holding those house parties on a periodic basis. And this weekend that they are doing the Iraq for Sale. But people can do the Call for Change program at any time, like basically not 24 hours a day, but during the times that people are home in the evening. And you can do it at any time. And they say that if we get enough people to, say, call 1 hour a week, and I think it's maybe 4 hours in the 2 weeks before the election,
right,
and 2 hours on election day, that they've done the research that it, you know, that this election can be swung to the Democrats.
Well, and that's a very interesting point. There's new polling data that shows that the switch has occurred. This Foley scandal clearly has pushed a lot of people away from the Republican Party. So, again, callforchange.org is where people can sign up.
Exactly. It's really easy. And also, I'm going to leave you with a question. A lot of people I talk to say, even progressives I talk to say, oh, it doesn't matter that much whether it's Democrats or Republicans, they're all corrupt. And I just feel so strongly that there is a big difference. I mean, I know they're Democrats, you know, they're in the pockets of some of the big corporate contributors, but it is a night and day difference. And I just wish people would really realize that we have to get on the ball on this and get the Democrats back in control of the House.
Well, and Jennifer, people who make that statement haven't looked at the Supreme Court lately.
Yeah. And it's also speaking to what your first guest talked about, is that nothing is getting out of these committees because the Republicans have total control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just election protection legislation. It's any legislation that's so important to us, like global warming legislation. There's wonderful legislation that's just sitting there waiting, you know, to be passed.
Mm-hmm. Brad, did you want to add anything to Jennifer's comment?
Yeah, I want to throw in MoveOn.org. You know, I'm delighted, of course, at what they're doing. But it would be really wonderful if they were able to get the word out to candidates that they must not concede on election night until every single vote is counted.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll hope that this time MoveOn is going to be spending, you know, paying more attention to the dangers of these of our voting system this time around, and raising money and collecting money for legal cases, which are going to have to be brought all around the country. It was very hard to move MoveOn.org after the 04 election. I see signs that they may be starting to pay attention, but you know, I would urge folks to try to move on to really understand the threat that we're after here, that is upon us, and to be vigilant in doing something about it, because I see no signs yet that the DNC really understands the threat at hand here.
That's a good point. Yeah. Jennifer, anything you want to add?
I agree, but although MoveOn is somewhat responsive, I mean, if people are members of MoveOn and follow it, you can do their periodic surveys and put your you know, your thoughts in about that. And
well, and to their credit, you know, I want to add, they did sign on to our letter yesterday, calling, you know, sent to the 50 secretaries of state and governors and so forth, calling for emergency paper ballots. So they are coming around, but boy, we could have used them over the past 2 years. So I hope this time, if they're jumping into the electoral integrity game, they mean business, because we are really going to need all hands on deck, not just on Election Day, but leading up to Election Day, and then in the follow-up to Election Day, when I think it's I'm going to really get busy.
Amen, brother.
All right, Jennifer, thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Callforchange.org.
All right, very good. And, Brad, just on that note, there has been an email exchange kind of moderated by Mark Crispin Miller today between Attorney Paul Leto, whom we know from your efforts to bring honesty to the special election that propelled Brian Bilbray into the House, and he was sworn in even before the election was certified, which has raised our eyebrows. Anyway, Leto says that we need to be vigilant because the Dems will start off losing on election night and will have to fight on November 7th, November 8th, November 9th, and he goes on and on to November 19th and says he's don't plan on eating any turkey on Thanksgiving Day because you're going to have to be vigilant about the election process that late in the game.
Yeah, that doesn't make my day. But yeah, that is going to be the case. Now, he has some concerns about the emergency paper ballots because his contention is that they won't be counted on election night, which will give the give Republicans a victory based on the electronic voting machines that night. We've learned how difficult it is to fight these elections. And to get transparency and accountability after the election has happened. I understand his point. I think it's a good point. Another election integrity advocate replied in kind, Jonathan Simon, replied in kind that, well, what he said was basically, we are facing a train wreck this November, no matter how you look at it. The only question now is, which train wreck is going to be easier to mitigate? Now,
well, in the next segment, we'll air this out a little bit further, but what Leto concludes, and he is an attorney, a legal guy, is that DRE cheating, the kind of hacking or other manipulation of voting machines, while more difficult to prove, is clearly illegal. He said the downside of these emergency paper ballots is that there could be massive disenfranchisement of so-called illegal votes, and it would be legal. So his point is that they might actually be manipulated almost at the same level or greater than the electronic results. We'll continue on that in just a moment. Brad Friedman with us, and we'll take more of your calls, too. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. Their line's available, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio. Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m., we're speaking on subjects not often talked about, like fear around money, relationships, or children, how we judge people, aging, happiness, and with our Central Coast's most colorful people, and of course, you. Call in or just listen. Reality Radio, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5, with me, Sheila Gale, on KRXA, sponsored by Myrick Photographic on Fremont Street in Monterey. Myrick Photographic in Monterey.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Dennis Donahue is running for mayor of Salinas because he has a vision of a great city and a plan to make it real. Dennis's community safety plan has earned the trust and the endorsement of the Salinas Police Officers Association, the Monterey County Deputy Sheriffs Association, the California Organization of Police and Sheriffs, and the National Latino Police Officers Association. Imagine a great city. Vote Dennis Donahue for mayor of Salinas.
I'm Dennis Donahue, and I approve this message.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I'm glad you're listening, whether you're in Phoenix, Arizona, Coos Bay, Oregon, Eureka, California, the central coast of California, or our nighttime listeners in Sacramento. Thanks for finding the Peter B. Show. Music of the moment from Steve Winwood. And this one's called Time is Running Out. Just a little over 3 weeks until our November 7 midterm elections all across the country. And the train wreck is visible from here. Brad Friedman, our guest, bradblog.com, our go-to guy on election integrity issues, and he is hardworking to the point of being overwhelmed because there is so much going on. And Brad, let's take a couple of minutes here, and then we'll go to the phones. We got some callers for you to talk about the emergency paper ballot. You sent out a letter to all 50 states, the governors, and the election officials, urging them to provide these emergency paper ballots at the polls for situations you described earlier, that when the machines don't work or when the line is around the block, that people have some recourse. And Paul Leto, a distinguished attorney who helped you with the battle over the California Congressional District 50 election, the special election to replace the jailed Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham, Leto is saying that he's against them because, on balance, he fears that it would be harder to litigate misdeeds based on these emergency paper ballots than it would be misdeeds based on electronic voting machines. I have a little trouble with that argument, though. I'm not a lawyer like him, but just in practical terms, if there's a paper ballot, it's going to be there a day after, a week after, a month, a year after the election. They're preserving the ballots from what's left from Ohio in 2004 for forensic examination. But if there's only the electronic machine and we can't actually prove that it was hacked or otherwise manipulated, does Leto's argument hold in that case?
Well, you know, his argument, and he's an attorney, so the nuances here get a little bit down into the weeds. I don't know that I would characterize it precisely the way you did, in that he was afraid about he was concerned about the difficulties between litigating over those paper ballots and the machines, although that was part of his argument. I think his primary concern, for a start anyway, was that those paper ballots might not be counted in full on election night, and that instead, and for example, if you have a bunch of Democrats who are supposedly more tuned in to the dangers of touchscreen voting, for example, if they all vote with paper and the touchscreen machines have primarily Republican votes on election night, those are the numbers that they're going to get quickly. And as you know, as we saw going all the way back to 2000, whoever is declared the winner first by the media wins. And I think that he's concerned that, you know, they'll get that into the media. They will announce a Republican has won before they've even counted those paper ballots.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a legitimate concern, a legitimate point. And then he goes on to say that he thinks it might be easier at that point for the Republicans to declare that though these paper ballots somehow aren't legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to not go too deep into the weeds here on this.
Understood.
But you know, I think he makes a good point. But with that in mind, he's coming at this from as an activist, as a Democratic activist to a certain extent. I'm more a democracy advocate. And I simply cannot brook the idea of hundreds of thousands and potentially millions of Americans, legally registered Americans, going to the polls to vote on election day and being disallowed to vote simply because the machines don't work, as mm-hmm. happened in all of these primaries this year. That, to me, is intolerable. And frankly, after this election, I plan on trying to figure out what the heck I can do in order to make it a felony to actually turn anyone away from the polls, a legally registered voter, without allowing them to vote. I think that's a travesty, and I would rather see those people vote than not vote. To a certain extent, I believe the point that he's making, again, as I mentioned before, was, you know, pick your train wreck. Which one is going to be worse?
Right.
And he may be arguing that, you know, we're going to have to take a bullet here at some point. Things are going to have to get just so intolerably bad that the system will have no choice but to, you know, to change.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I'm willing to do that, and in fact, I would suggest America has taken a bullet now in election after election over the last 4, 6, even 8 years.
Well, she's deeply wounded and bleeding badly.
Indeed. And so, you know, it's a good point. It's a legitimate point. But right now, I'm in favor of people voting, and then I'm in favor of continuing the education campaign to understand how vigilant people need to be to make sure those votes get counted,
mm-hmm.
and to make sure that those ballots do not get destroyed so that we can, in fact, count them and go back if there are any challenges. It's really a mess. Can you tell?
Yeah, we can. And, Brad, next Wednesday when we do our live broadcast from Eureka, actually from Blue Lake, California, we're going to focus entirely on these issues. You'll be with us at the beginning and end of the show, and we'll work it out so that you and Paul Leto can talk, because he's scheduled to join us on the program, and we'll just have an open discussion about this and let our listeners make the decision for themselves.
Good deal.
All right. Now to your calls. We've got Art in Sacramento up first. Hello, Art. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Brad Friedman.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Brad. How are you?
Good.
Very good.
Hey, you know, I don't understand what's the mad rush, you know, after the election. Why do we have to know instantaneously? It seems to me like that's causing more headaches than anything else. We've got that big disappointment when Kerry decided to concede way too soon.
Well, and to your point, Art, let's take a look at what happened in 2000. We didn't know the outcome of the presidential election until the Supreme Court ruled, and the nation didn't fall apart. The world didn't collapse. Nobody attacked the United States. Chaos didn't break out. And so I agree with you. We need to end this idea that the networks have to be able to name the winner of every race before we go to bed on election night.
Right, exactly. You know, I think this should be a multi-pronged attack with what Brad and Kennedy and the rest of them are trying to do. Not only should we be mailing these things to our governors and secretaries of state, but I think we should kind of push the issue and hold rallies until, you know, they come out and do something, fall on one side or the other of this.
All right, Brad. Brad, what's your reaction?
Sounds good to me. I mean, I'll point you for a start. If you go to the top, either go to pdamerica.org, or go to the top of bradblog.com. We've got a link over to PDA. They've got a way that you can very easily and quickly send email to your Secretary of State, Governor, and State Election Director. So I hope everyone will click on this, on that. I have gotten word, and I hope to run something on this at the beginning of the week, that in California, the Secretary of State's office has issued a memo saying that every voter in California, if they choose, may ask for a paper ballot on election day.
Yeah, we need to make this public knowledge.
Yep.
And I think this is a good opportunity for all the different activist groups to hone in on this, because nothing else really matters without the votes. And the other things we should probably be focusing on is our own polling. Maybe do our own exit polls, because I don't trust what's even being polled right now.
And, well, you shouldn't, because
Brad, isn't there an effort to create independent exit polls?
Yeah, there is indeed, and we're trying to do that over at velvetrevolution.us. It's going to be very, very costly. We have found a couple of funders who said they are interested in doing this, in funding exit polls on Election Day. We're going to try to do that. It's, as I say, very costly. Feel free to donate to the effort at velvetrevolution.us. But we're going to try to do it, and then we're going to have to pick those races where it's going to be done, because, you know, there's now races, you know, this year across the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the folks, I think, they'll look at certain races and not look at other races. And I stress that, you know, by, again, pointing back to 2004, you know, we're still getting data now out of Alaska, where the Democratic Party, the only place that the Democratic Party has gone to court to try to get data about what happened in 2004, and they're finding that there were hundreds of thousands of extra votes, more votes for George Bush than actual voters.
I'd like to...
Before, you know, it was important for Bush to win his popular vote that he failed to get in 2000. So who would think to look up in Alaska for these extra votes?
Yeah.
In Ohio, you saw, well, to give you another example, you know, in counties in Ohio that were very, very strongly Republican, if Bush was already going to win by 300,000 votes, who would notice if it was 4,000 votes? Conversely, if Kerry was going to win by 300,000 votes, who would notice if he only won by 200,000 votes? So, in other words, it's not always the swing states and the swing elections to look for. The bad guys are always a step ahead of us, and so that's why it's tough to choose where to look in these exit polls.
Art, go ahead. You had another comment?
Yes, keeping an eye on the bad guys is definitely something that's going to require more eyes than just what we have. I think we should invite international observers, just like we send out to other countries that we know there's a distinct problem. And let's invite the world community. Let's get them in here to help us out.
Well, we did, by the way.
There were international observers in Ohio in 2004.
Yeah, but Ken Blackwell wouldn't let them get close enough to the polls.
Yeah.
We're not going to let that stand this time, are we?
I'm not. Are you?
I'm not either.
Okay, Art, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Now let's go to Randall in Tempe, Arizona. Hello, Randall. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, Peter, welcome to Arizona. It's wonderful to have you in the daytime here.
Well, thank you. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, and Brad is a hero of ours here. Brad, our mutual friend John Brakey and I are signed up with pollworkersfordemocracy.org, and we're urging everybody across the country to go to pollworkersfordemocracy.org and sign up and see how to become a poll worker and actually operate the polls on election day. And,
yeah, we're supporting them as well. They're a great group founded by the Main Street Mob, and can't support them enough. And as well, I'm fans of yours back out there at you, and John Brakey's. The folks in Arizona have been amongst the best in the country as far as boots on the ground and fighting for accountable elections out there. And it has been no easy feat with your horrible Secretary of State, Jan Brewer.
Yeah, she's a Mrs. Blackwell, a regular, she's just a clone of the rest, a real robot.
She really is.
Blooper and Nurse Ratched all rolled into one. But I wanted to also plug, here in Arizona, I set up an email box called azpollworker@cox.net, and I'm asking Arizonans that want to be poll workers or Democratic Party poll watchers and poll observers to send me an email there, and I'll get them the information on how you sign up in Arizona, or how, especially in Maricopa County here, which is the greater Phoenix area.
Randall, hit us with that one more time. azpollworker@cox.net.
That's the email box.
Cox.net.
Yeah. But in general, across the country, and for people who aren't, may not be Democrats, if they haven't got the word that that's the only way to save the world is to become a Democrat, then they can go to Poll Workers for Democracy, which is nonpartisan. We do have Greens involved, and here in Arizona, we got our legislation for the hand count audit through the legislature. It was a massive bipartisan Republican and Democrat strange bedfellows, almost unanimous in the legislature. We found out that the Republicans, some of them are as worried about this as we are because they cheat each other in their primaries, you know? So that kind of brings them into the election integrity movement, kicking and screaming, and it's a wonderful thing.
It is, and you must be one of those, as your Secretary of State, Jan Brewer, called you, anarchists out there in Arizona.
That's right. We're conspiracy theorists, and we think our theories of the conspiracies are pretty strong.
Is Jan Brewer going to win re-election out there?
I don't think she's going to win. She may steal re-election, but you know, she's got her thumb on the scale. So
hold her feet to the fire, because she really hates democracy, and she brought in those Diebold touchscreen machines out there in Arizona after, long after it had already been determined just how hackable they are. And
right.
She's been in court doing everything she can to fight for this phony voter ID, photo ID stuff.
Right. Well, there's only one DRE in each polling place, and that's for the disabled people. And you know, most of the counties, except for Maricopa here in Phoenix, they're using the Diebold optical scanner. At least they have paper ballots. But your vote will be stolen by an optical scanner rather than by a DRE.
Randall, I got to run to a break here. Thanks a lot for your call. Give our best to John Brakey.
Thanks for all your work, you guys.
When Brakey was on the show, we had to serenade him with this. Where is it here? And if you play that song, that achy breaky song, I might blow up my radio. We'll take a quick break. Don't blow up your radio. Brad Friedman continues with us after the break. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins, and this is the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
You can clear the room by playing Debbie Boone. Oh, crank.
J.
Jim Ross of National Real Estate Holdings is back as our special guest on Rock Rollin' Real Estate this Sunday at 10 a.m. Jim has got special offers just for Rock Rollin' Real Estate listeners. He has D.R. Horton Homes giving him a 2% discount on a purchase and a 2% discount towards closing costs to any deal in Austin, Houston, and Fort Worth, Texas that he's involved in. Call him at 866-383-9977. He also has a great deal in Palm Springs, but you have to listen this week to Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10 right here on KRXA.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and native healer Cloud Pyler for an hour of Native Health Radio and discover how sacred medicine can save modern life. Honest, direct, funny, informative, it's programming that makes you think. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Good afternoon. Let's take a look at traffic, and we are going to start off with a problem in Inner Lake and Amador at Sombrero. We have a crash in the final clearing stages. In fact, two vehicles involved in this. CHP wrapping everything up there for the most part. Prunedale, northbound 101, just after Ralph, we have a problem working there. And this one, apparently two vehicles been cleared to the right shoulder, and traffic still heavily backed up as a result of this. In Aptos, Hokel, Highway 1. We have a two-car crash clear to the shoulder there. CHP says they're going to wrap up things there pretty soon. Also want to mention Pajaro, Salinas Road at San Juan. Railroad crossing arms are stuck and expect delays there. In fact, traffic starting to back up in the area. And I want to mention this report is brought to you by the Ultimate Fighting Championship on pay-per-view. Watch UFC this Saturday.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Minutes away from the hour, the Peter B. Collins Show with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, and we're joined by Steve from Salinas. Hello, Steve. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I've got a couple of things real quick here. One, I'm afraid that any close election will go to Republicans because they can switch a few thousand votes and without raising too many eyebrows, but if it's a big romp, then they're going to have to let the Democrats win that one.
Well, that's kind of a mistaken notion, Steve, because we saw what I believe was a brazen theft in Ohio in 2005. There were referenda initiatives on the ballot in Ohio, and one of them that was embraced by the Republican leadership passed by a margin that was within 0.1% of the pre-election polling. But the other three or four, which were pro-consumer, pro-Democrat, pro-citizen, went down to defeat almost by the opposite margin shown in that same pre-election poll. So we can't, Brad, do you agree? You really can't be complacent about any of this.
Yeah, I concur.
I agree with that.
And that's the problem. You know, I was speaking to the DNC in Chicago over the summer, and one of the things they said was, well, don't you worry. If there's a close election, we'll be there with attorneys. Right. And, of course, we've heard that before. That said, you know, just make sure it's not a close election.
Yeah, that's my point.
Well, no, but the problem is because we don't have control over these machines, because we can't see how they're counted, we can have what we had in Ohio in 2005, where it seems as if vote counts were completely flipped, and they weren't close enough that anybody would go in and challenge them. And there's damn near nothing you can do about it. That's the danger that we're all looking at here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, two other things real quick here.
But your point is well taken, mind you.
When he had a caller say that Democrats and Republicans are all the same, and to a certain point I agree, but two things. One, Democrats are the only hope we have. And two, if some of these Republicans are replaced, then there will be new Democrats in there that haven't been corrupted by the system yet. So we will have a chance. But if Bush has a Republican Congress for two more years, I don't think we're ever going to recover. So we've got Democrats are the only chance we have.
Yeah, let me add to that, by the way, that this notion that, oh, they're all corrupt, throw the bums out, that is so 2000. You might have been able to make that case back in 2000, but by 2004 and beyond, the difference between these two parties is so crystal clear. It's never been clearer. Yeah, get the Democrats in there, and then believe me, I'll be leading the march to beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, until then,
the vigilance will not end if the Democrats win. Steve, thanks a lot for your call today. Always nice to hear from you. Brad, we got about 3 minutes left here. One quick item I wanted to mention is that it appears that Brian Bilbray, the man we've talked about who was sworn in before the election was certified, he's replacing the convicted criminal Randy Duke Cunningham in the House. He appears to have an Ann Coulter problem, and it's not bleach blonde hair or a little black dress.
Yeah, it looks like he may be. There are some reports now that there might be a grand jury investigating whether he lives in that in the state of California at all. And I'm trying to learn more about that. In fact, I can give you a small dot in this story is that when he was given subpoenas for the Busby Bilbray election, the folks had a very difficult time. They were unable to find him in order to serve him.
Mm-hmm.
There's hopefully some interesting details to come out of that, but yeah, not a big surprise.
Right.
But, grand jury investigation may be looking at Brian Bilbray.
By the way, this just came in for our Eureka listeners. We'll be live there next Wednesday. Brad will be participating in our three-hour special on election integrity issues. And we did give away all the tickets for the main theater, but at the Del Arte Performing Arts School, they've made an outdoor area, an amphitheater available. So there will be additional tickets available. Contact KGOE at 707-442-2000 to get more information. Finally, Brad, yesterday I took a call from a new listener in Phoenix, and he was a snotty, smarmy kind of guy who doesn't believe that there are election problems. He thinks that Democrats get whiny when they lose elections, and they try to blame machines and all sorts of other factors for it. And one of his points was that he was more concerned on about behavior by voters that amounts to fraud than behavior by those who run the elections. And conveniently, USA Today published a story just today which basically says, report skeptical of fraud at polls. Little evidence found despite pending bills. And this guy he sounded like a lawyer or something. He was pretty verbal. And he was trying to pin me down to prove that there has been a court case that has established fraud by voting machines. I couldn't cite one, and I'm not sure that one has ever been litigated to that point.
Well, that's the danger, is that, and exactly what Princeton showed in their report on the Diebold touchscreen machine, that an entire election can be gamed, and the evidence can eat itself. The code can eat itself after the election. What I would point that fella to, and I hope he calls back one time when I'm on the air, because I'll have a word or two to say to him about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, since we're running short on time, urge folks to go to bradblog.com, see, I think it's the top story now, on that EAC report, what they found and what they buried for 4 months. They wouldn't release this report because some high-level operatives, surprise, surprise, connected to the Bush administration, this American Center for Voting Rights, did everything they could to bury that report and forward this nonsense agenda that there is all of this voter fraud going on. I'd also point out 9 races in Ohio on electronic voting machines in a Republican primary, which were overturned because the computers failed.
Thank you very much, Brad. I knew the facts were there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to talk to you twice next week, and you'll actually be in the House next Friday. Looking forward to it.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Lou Miliano. Not a faked nuclear test, but a nuclear fizzle for North Korea. This according to officials within the Bush administration, which may explain the lack of an immediate radioactive signature and then radioactive gas consistent with an atomic explosion.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. New air sampling data undergoing final government analysis indicates that the North Korean test explosion on Monday was a nuclear blast. But a senior U.S. official says the government is not yet ready to announce a final determination, though it could come soon, perhaps over the weekend.
One official said the betting is that this was an attempt at a nuclear test that failed. Officials add there were a variety of tests conducted. Chinese and Japanese governments have done their own air sampling and found no trace of radioactive material. The State Department, meanwhile, has announced that Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will travel to China, South Korea, and Japan next week to discuss steps to pressure North Korea to drop its nuclear efforts. Members of the U.N. Security Council agreed today to wording of a resolution that would clamp sanctions on the North. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod.
The resolution demands North Korea conduct no more nuclear tests and returns to the negotiating table, those so-called six-party talks. North Korea would not be able to import any luxury goods or materials and technologies that could be used in its weapons program. Cargo entering or leaving North Korea could be subject to searches, though they wouldn't be mandatory.
The draft, scheduled for a Saturday vote, would authorize non-military sanctions against the North and says that any further action the council might want to take would require another UN resolution. Authorities are still looking for suspects. Suspects had shot 2 adults and 2 children to death along an isolated stretch of Florida's Turnpike in St. Lucie County. Sheriff Ken Mascara says investigators assumed the family had been in a car that pulled off the highway and that someone inside the vehicle shot all 4 victims multiple times before driving away.
Very dark, it could be black or dark green Jeep. It has a paper temporary tag in the rear window, and we do not know if that temporary tag is of Florida or another state.
Killed were a 29-year-old man, a 25-year-old woman, clutching 2 children, each between 4 and 6 years old.